and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, parasites, and people that don't like us. Morning Sedition is here. It's Tuesday. That's Mark Riley sitting right there.
Present.
Oh, my God, man. We got so much stuff to do today. We got guests. We've got things. What do we got? We've got the bloggers. Good morning, community. Good morning, family.
Good morning, truckers.
We've got Carmen Bin Laden on today.
That's right.
What do you think of that? That is sister-in-law of Osama. She's going to talk about her life after 9/11, her new book, Inside the Kingdom, My Life in Saudi Arabia. We've got James Galbraith, one of our favorites. He's a professor at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at University of Texas at Austin. He's going to talk about the economy and the jobs. I like Galbraith.
Love Galbraith.
He's
giving Galbraith
some
is
good deep. Information. Later on, if you're going to stay with us the whole 3 hours, which we highly recommend.
Very much recommend. Yeah,
because we got ex-soul coughing frontman Mike Doty, who is a old friend of mine, and we're excited to have him play.
Is he bringing some swag?
Riley's all about the free stuff.
He's like, I want the CD, man. I want the swag.
For 3 days now. It's like, I want the free CD. I want the swag, man.
I want the swag.
Who is this guy anyways? Is he bringing me a present?
That's right.
Oh, where's my present?
That's right. You want to come in here and play?
Riley,
this is pay for play.
How many Snicker bars did you sneak before I got in?
None.
Here?
I had Twizzlers, man. Twizzlers.
No, so I
have to vary things up. You have a thousand different little M&Ms sitting on the edge of the table over here.
I'm such a compulsive idiot. You know what I mean? It's like I did the M&Ms once last week for breakfast, and now it's like I'm thinking about it when I go to sleep at night. I'm like, tomorrow I get that candy. Oh my God, it's ridiculous.
Let me tell you something.
What?
People at 7-Elevens all over America this morning are thanking you as people pull off to the side
to get
some M&M's on their way to work.
I know, I bored out. Chris, you said that some dude that you know listens to our show, when I bring up M&M's, he's got to pull over and get M&M's?
That's right.
What did he say? He just said he's listening to the show?
Yeah, he's driving to work, and he has to actually get off of the expressway, go to a gas station, and get M&M's, because you have to mention M&M's.
That's right.
And it's so beautiful and creative, and he just has to eat them.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's it. I don't know why I'm plugging M&M's, because I think they're a beautiful candy. But let's get to the issues. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Wait a minute. It's only 8 minutes past the hour. We shouldn't have to get to issues this fast.
No, I want to hear a... Wait. Let's hear...
Yes.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Beautiful. The clarity. Hey, you know, his wife is on TV last night defending the decision to, you know, disengage from any new stem cell research.
Yes. Only the original 78. Thank you.
I can't, you know, it's like, what do these people want? What do they want? Do they want, it's like, this is a great example, and I'm going to use the word properly. These people are pro-cultural retardation. That's what they are. They're pandering to a bunch of people that cannot see forward enough to realize that maybe God intended us to have these type of research projects going so we can better the lives of people instead of insisting on staying backward and just surrendering to these weird old ideas.
Well, you know, there's some really interesting ways that people are speaking to their conservative base. You got Laura Bush on the one hand talking about, you know, any breakthroughs in terms of stem cell research as being ridiculous. And then you got Alan Keyes, our good friend Alan Keyes, calling Barack Obama essentially a slave master.
Yeah, but that guy's out of his mind. Yeah, but she is like, we don't even know that stem cell research will provide cures for anything, she said, much less that it's very close. Oh, well then let's just stop.
Yeah.
Isn't that what research is? It's like we're taking the time. She's like, don't give people false hope. Okay, yeah, just give them Jesus. That's better. Don't give them hope when they look at their relatives with Alzheimer's that this will ever be cured. You know what I mean? Because the idea that she's saying, you know, don't be hopeful, you know, when you have a relative right now who's got Alzheimer's, you know, so because we're not that close, so we're just going to stop altogether. Like, people might be forward-thinking enough and actually saying, like, well, now that I see this in my family, I hope to God it doesn't happen to someone else. I hope we can make progress enough that another family doesn't go through this. But no, she'd rather pander to the narrow-minded constituency that she knows will vote for her dumb husband and say, we're never going to let this happen because these little globs of cells could be potentially troubled people. And we need troubled people to promote our cause. The more troubled people who are lost and economically straddled and willing to believe delusionary systems of thought are the people that will make the Republicans last longer.
Well, you know what? I think there's some recent polling out that says that the American people, not an awful lot of the American people, are starting to look at the whole economic thing a little bit differently. I don't know about stem cells. I'm not sure a lot of Americans understand what the hell stem cells are all about. But they do understand their pocketbooks, and Laura Bush's husband isn't doing much for him. But we're going to get to James Galbraith to explain all of that to us later this morning.
The weird thing is, it's like, you're right. And, you know, Clinton was even saying that on Jon Stewart's show last night, that, you know, the economy is going to make the difference. But there's plenty of people that are so down on their luck, that are so screwed by this administration and the policies that conservatives and the right usually put forth. But they no longer are able to blame them properly. They can't put the blame to where it belongs, which is compromising economic policies put forth by Republicans are screwing most of the people that continue to vote for them, because they have distracted those people with wedge issues. They've distracted those people and said, look, you know, hardship is part of life. There's nothing you can do about that. What you can do something about is the fact that, you know, we've got a bunch of, you know, pro-abortion people. We've got all these people that want gays to marry. We've got people that want to, you know, they want to help cure people with dead babies. You know, it's like that's what they're trying to preoccupy these people with, because they're trying to sort of, you know, buttress
trying to win an election.
They're trying to win an election, but these people, if they mobilize and actually sought the truth about why their lives are compromised and why they don't have health coverage and why their jobs suck or why they don't have jobs, they could trace it all back to Republican policy. Yet these are the same people that will vote Republican because they've been convinced that what's important is these stupid wedge issues that are meaningless ultimately and will never be resolved, yet the stuff that they can resolve through some action, they no longer blame the right people for.
But you know what? There are more and more people that think like that. More and more people. And look, we've talked to some
who
voted for George W. Bush in 2000 and said, yeah, you know what? I'm not making this mistake again.
Right.
I'm not doing this again because I look 4 years down the road and I'm not doing as well as I was doing under Bill Clinton. The more honest of these folks will tell you that. Now, they may have other reasons. They may say, well, I don't buy Kerry's record in the Senate, or because the Democrats don't really have a plan for this, or a plan for that, or a plan for the other. But they can't ignore what their pocketbook tells them. They can be against gay marriage till they're blue in the face. That's somebody else's situation. Look in your wallet, folks,
yeah,
and ask yourself, where is your money going? Where did that tax cut that Bush said he was giving you, where did it go?
Right, and don't be afraid to blame the Republicans. Don't look in your wallet and say, I've got no money. This must be the way God wants it to be. Jesus loves me. No gay marriages.
Well, you know, the other thing that people do when they get down on their luck like that is try and fly to Vegas and make a little money.
You know
what I'm saying?
There you go.
Gamble.
Yeah, Vegas, man. Vegas.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I hate Vegas.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about it after Tara Watch, after the break on Air America Radio.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Jim Brewer Unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli and the gang. We know strippers.
Get up the cinnamon.
We know hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no midgets. There'll be no delinquents.
Off the leash.
What's up?
Bouncer.
Come over there and punch in the snot box, Charlie.
Come hang out. Jim Brewer Unleashed, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where what that?
Sirius 147.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events.
Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Do you like riding your bike? Well, how about skateboarding? Inline skating or playing sports? Well, I like them all. But what I don't like is getting hurt. That means I can't do the things I like. So if you're out doing the things you like, make sure to wear a helmet and pads or whatever else you need to keep you from getting hurt. Play it safe. Because if you don't, you might not be able to play at all.
Barbara Bush, or not Barbara Bush, Laura Bush, says you don't want to get on that slippery slope towards curing terminal illness. Yeah, it's a slippery slope, man. Hey, we're not making a lot of progress with most cancers. Let's just quit. Let's quit. AIDS is still out there. You know what? Let's throw the towel in. Screw it. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The slippery slope. Oh, yeah, the slippery slope towards progress. Don't want that. You know, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
I have M&M's in my mouth. And I'm trying to get rid of them. And someone on the blog was just like, "You're the best candy promoters ever." What? That people like. Look, you know, I don't promote a lot of things that I don't believe in. I'm not promoting M&M's. I'm just trying to share my morning with you people because my life is so small.
We become compartmentalized. When you wake up at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, your life has become squeezed down into an occasional contact with somebody in a store or family members or whatever. And then the rest of the time you either sleep or you obsess about, you know, having to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what life is all about.
I did get out and do a little world tour yesterday in my neighborhood, though. I went to a Greek market and I learned a bit about feta cheese and I got some new foods. And I, what else did I do? I didn't solve any big problems.
But you know, the problem is,
I cooked some halibut.
We now look out the, window now and think the sunrise is great.
It is great. That's one of the great gifts of this. You know, remember back in the day, Riley, when the sunrise came up, you'd be like, "Oh, there goes my day." You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Been up all night.
Now it's time to go to sleep.
Now we get to work, and like, you know, in a couple hours, you're like, "Wow, that's amazing." We get to look out at the skyline of Manhattan with the sun coming up over it,
and Peer Gynt in the background.
Yeah,
you know, what are you doing?
Every morning. We're all weepy-eyed.
Yeah.
So,
but we're up, though. I don't want people to think that we really have that big of a problem with this, because I don't want you to think that we don't enjoy what we do.
I love it, man. I don't even think of it as...
It's not work.
It's not early or late for me. It's just my life. You know what I mean? I'm out there living the life of a monk because we're talking about the issues.
Thank you.
We're fighting for our lives here. And if you're getting tired of that, then we're not talking to you. All right. So, wait, let's do it again. Now, this leak, you know, Schumer got upset about the leak of the guy's name, Khan, the guy with the computer from Pakistan.
Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan.
So they got all this information about terrorist threats that was dated information, but there was some new information because they were using this guy, Khan. The Pakistanis were using him to keep engaged with Al-Qaeda operatives in Britain and some other places around the world.
He was sending out the emails to these people.
Right, so they were using him. They were actually fighting the war on terror.
They turned him.
Right. Well, what happened is because there was so much criticism of the old information that they used to base the terror threats on in this country, that this like politicizing, you know, petty administration decided to leak the guy's name to prove a point that, look, we got one, and he's the guy that had the information that we based the terror threats on, so they completely blew the whole sting operation.
But you know what that is, don't you?
What?
It can be described in one very simple word.
Okay.
Ineptitude. This is ridiculous that an administration that prides itself on trying to fight a war on terror could be as amateurish as to respond to a political problem by outing a living, breathing piece of intelligence.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I'll tell you what the sense is. This is how screwed up their priorities are, is that they put this terror alert out, right, which is based on all of the information, and they get a lot of flack for it, and they should have, because the bottom line is, if those places that were on that old information weren't on a list somewhere in the Homeland Security Department as possible targets of terrorism, then they're idiots. I mean, that list should be intact, and you should know pretty much the top 50 places these guys might hit, and you should have security there all the time that is effective in monitoring terrorist activity. That's a given. That should be part of the war on terrorism that they don't need to tell us about. They should fight it quietly as opposed to saying, look, threats, vote for us, be afraid, we've got it under control. That was politicizing it. So then when people were critical of what they did, of making that terror threat, and people assuming that it was political, which it was, so they repoliticized it by saying, yeah, but we got the guy that gave us the information, there's new information, see, we are fighting it.
Yeah.
So in order to grandstand their success in the war on terror, they've just diminished an incredible possibility or potential to get more and more of these terrorists. In order to grandstand their fighting the war on terror, they've taken a credible shot against it.
You know what they may have blown in the long run? They may have blown the one opportunity to find out something that they do not know now, Mark Maron, and that is who and where are Al-Qaeda operatives functioning inside this country.
Right.
They don't know it.
Right.
They have no idea how many of them there are. They don't know where they are in this country. And this guy might have been able, had he been able to continue to send out these emails, he might well have been able to lead people to the Al-Qaeda operatives inside this country. But you know what? These terror targets are not, it isn't all rocket science. You know, right after September 11th, I got on the air when I was doing my show Politics Live, and I said, it would seem to me, given, you know, the ideological and religious bent of these terrorists, that the next logical place they hit would be Las Vegas. I mean,
right.
Las Vegas represents everything that they despise.
Right.
You know, prolificacy.
That should have been on the list, and apparently it was on the list.
It was on the list as early as 2 years ago.
And Vegas knew about it. This is the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Is that Vegas knew that it was on the list, and they made a decision not to attend FBI briefings on the threat to Vegas so they would not be blamed when the information came out. Because basically what the, you know, I guess it would be the city council or the governor.
The mayor.
The mayor of Vegas.
Oscar
said,
Goodman, who has a schnoz who looks like he's been boxing in one of their rings out there.
So he knows, but you know what he says? He says, what are the odds? Let's not make a big deal out of this. Because I think the odds are still in our favor. And some people are like, I'll put 50 on that it's not going to happen. So they basically hedged their bets, I guess, and said, look, they didn't hedge them. They said, the odds are it's not going to happen. We don't need to alarm people because that's going to screw up tourism. So let's let it be. And you know what? In some ways, it may have been the right thing to do because, to be honest with you, the responsibility of this Department of Homeland Security is to have all this stuff in check and to be fighting this war quietly, instead of creating a climate of fear in order to politicize the terrorist threat.
Well, you know what? If they had publicized the fact that there were apparently operatives videotaping, and you know, CNN is showing the videotape that they took of the various casinos, I think it was New York, Excalibur, and one of the other ones, it might have emptied Las Vegas out like you wouldn't believe in terms of people saying, well, no, I'm not going out there.
Unless they're real gamblers.
Yeah, right? Genuine gamblers, which is what I really despise about. Now, Kalo, our board op, is going out to this.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, like, scare him or get him upset or anything.
No, nah, man.
I hate Vegas, man. I have never, first of all, I don't gamble on anything. All right, I don't play ponies, I don't do slots. The only time, when I was in Vegas once 6 years ago, the only way I won money was when a friend of mine had to go to the bathroom and said, keep playing for me, I won $40.
I got it. You know, it's like one of those unexplored problems that I have. I've really managed to stay away from it because I just don't have fun gambling. Even the other night, I'm at the Comedy Cellar and, you know, Bobby Kelly starts shooting craps. And I don't really know how to shoot craps. And he's like, you want to play? And I'm like, okay, explain it to me. And it seemed like a reasonably sort of luck kind of thing. So
yeah, $100 later.
No, it was only 25, but that's the thing. I go to Vegas, you know, a lot of guys are like, it's fun, get in the spirit of it. I lose $100. I'm like, this isn't fun. I just lost $100.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I'm bad at it too. If I were, and I'm not unlucky, all right, but I'm not lucky either. All right? I'm just in the middle.
You're in the middle.
And I'm a bad gambler, though, because I'm at a blackjack table. You know, if the dealer's got 17, I got 16, I'll hit. You know what I mean? Like, come on, hit me. Give it to me. And when you do that, you'll know that guys who are, you know, compulsive gamblers sitting next to you be like, what are you doing? You're screwing up my cards, you know? Because they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I go, what am I doing? I'm gambling. You apparently have some kind of problem.
No, let me tell you something.
Where's the fun, man?
There is nothing worse than going back on a milk run, one of the late night flights from Vegas back east, back to New York or Newark.
Oh,
or one of these.
Oh, my God.
All of these people are flying back. They've all lost their shirts. Their mortgages are due. They got no money. Their wives, when they get home and find out the bank account's empty, they're going to call their lawyers, and they are the most depressing people to stand in an airport line with in human history.
It's completely sad, compulsive place.
Yeah.
It's not. There's no romance to it. I mean, I did a gig at the Mohegan Sun. You know, which was a great gig, actually.
Yeah.
It was a great room, great facility, had a great show, but I'm going to sleep, you know, after my buddy, I lost $300 in like 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous, but I had gotten into my head that I was going to lose $300. That's all I was going to spend. So I lost the money. Meanwhile, the buddy I went with he was in the casino till 6 a.m.
Oh, no.
All right, but won $500, right? But I knew that I just made a few hundred, you know, a grand or so on the gig, so I'm like, you know, I didn't have to work that hard, you know? He was down a couple $100. He spent 6 hours winning it back. But here was the thing, Riley. In the room next door, I hear a couple fighting.
Really?
This is the horrible thing about Vegas.
Yeah.
You just hear this woman, like, you know, what do you mean? What do you mean?
We have no money?
How could you do that? You just hear this. I can't believe it.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, they should have this on the advertisement.
Yeah.
What
happens in your room goes next door.
What happens? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really... Now, all of this hatred that I'm spewing for Vegas does not mean that I wish it were a terror target. Let's be real about this. No one wants to see any place or anyone hit by terror. But the other side of the equation is you would think that the law enforcement community in Las Vegas would be more interested than to only send two people to a federal government FBI briefing.
They didn't want to know
about terrorist movement. What? Surprise? Bam? What?
What goes on in the terror alert meetings stays in the
terror alert meetings.
So we got Carmen Bin Laden coming up, which I'm kind of curious about. That should be interesting.
Well, yeah. She has led a very interesting life, I think.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, Carmen Bin Laden, Osama's sister-in-law, on her new book, and the all-important liberal agenda from the Streisand compound when we come back here on Air America Radio. Upside
down. Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rates.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with a Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The New York Times reports that there's a new portrait of Al-Qaeda's inner workings. Based on information received last month in Pakistan, investigators there say there's a new crop of operatives who appear to be filling the ranks of those killed or captured. Bush administration's recent revelation that the capture of suspect Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan, who was a tremendous resource for information on Al-Qaeda, has impeded that investigation. Internal documents show that the feds had information on plans by terrorists to attack Las Vegas, but city officials maintain they were never informed. But the AP says there's also evidence showing they knew but kept quiet, fearing the consequences of public disclosure. Feds may or may not hike interest rates today. At issue is the stagnant economy tied to poor job growth and the spiraling cost of fuel. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey, people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Yeah. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loonies want to bring on. Because I can't be fought and I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. All this week, I'll be making heavenly matches between my favorite cars and your sun signs. When I come back, caroscopes for Sagittarius and Capricorn. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Sagittarius. Sag can now lasso their fearless, fiery drive and take their flat-out performance on the road. Like the half-human, half-horse Centaur, Chrysler's Crossfire uses its six-speed brain to ride the soon-offered 330 horses under the hood. An integrated, retractable spoiler automatically deploys at about 60. Giddy up, Capricorn! Nothing old gold about this new kid on the block, the historically best-selling and newly redesigned Ford F-150. Serious Capricorns who pay homage to those who have gone before will get in touch with their wild side, cruising or climbing in this redefined truck with optional moonroof, running boards, and a rear seat DVD. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us!
Good morning, philosopher kings, geniuses, kings and queens. The kittens are fine. They're in the back. They're in the backyard. I can't get my hands on them. They seem to have the run of the alley. I'll get into it more later. It's Mark Riley, Mark Maron, Morning Tradition, Air America Radio. Some guy, the Ukrainian guy who owns a frame store next door to the laundromat, is feeding the kittens. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll get back to it. Right now, I got the Ramon just got this to me. He's actually sending video footage now, Ramon. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, of him just naked, rubbing his butt on the Oval Office chair. Here we go. Is that wrong? Here's the president's schedule for today. 7 a.m., wake up, pack for Florida. Ask John Kerry if I can borrow his flip-flops.
Oh, I still got it.
8:55 a.m., leave for Florida. Have separate speeches ready for crackers, Cubans, and old people.
Oh, Lord.
10:40 a.m., speak at rally, Pensacola, Florida. Talking point, John Kerry is soft on hurricanes. 2 p.m., participate in an Ask President Bush event, Niceville, Florida. Have Karl Rove plant someone in the audience to ask, what would we ever do without you? 5:45 p.m., speak at rally, Panama City, Florida. Assure them that every vote counts, even if we don't count every vote. 7 p.m., drop in on Jeb. Have Secret Service hold him down while I dangle loogies over his face. Now we're even for that middle school incident, little brother. 9 p.m., kill a manatee. Manatee. Not humanity. Manatee. 11 p.m., bedtime, think happy thought headline. Kerry tells Florida voters, I hate Cubans, Israel, Art Deco, Orange Juice, Disney, and the sun. There you go. Okay, now on the phone from, wow, Geneva, Switzerland. She's safe up there. Carmen Bin Laden was married to Yeswam, one of Osama's 24 brothers. There were also 29 sisters in the Bin Laden family. And Osama and Yeswam's dad apparently had 22 wives. Now, she's not, she hasn't been married to him for, I guess, or has been estranged from him for 14 years. And now she's with us. She's got her book out, My Life in Saudi Arabia, The Inside the Kingdom, My Life in Saudi Arabia. Please welcome to the show, Carmen Bin Laden. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. My first question, of course, has to be, why would you keep the name?
Yeah, right.
Because we realized with my daughter and I, you know, we discussed it. There is, you know, you cannot hide the truth. And there is no way they can escape, unfortunately, that name. And the only way for us to was to explain to the Western world, our world, that yeah. despite that that name, my daughter had been given the Western values.
Right. Now, oh, the Western values, right. Now, how has that name affected your life, you know, in the last couple of years?
Well, that name has affected my life prior to that because, you know, I had to fight for 14 years in a very private against one of the member of the one of the most powerful family in the world to gain freedom of choice, to be able to get freedom of choice to my daughter. Then,
right.
Then unfortunately, 9/11 happened, and it has been quite difficult for my daughter. They are in a very awkward position.
So you've been apart from your husband for 14 years, and you weren't able, the detachment, you're not able to get a divorce, I'm assuming, and because of the rules in Saudi Arabia, it's very difficult to get any freedom whatsoever from the husband?
Yes, I think, you know, my husband is very powerful, and he had the divorce proceeding dragging on. And as you know, there is so many Westerners married to Saudis who lost the custody of their children, and their children are trapped in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider myself very lucky and very fortunate to have been able at least to gain that part of what was the most important part of my fight, to get these three girls and give them the Western value, because I didn't want them to be trapped in Saudi Arabia
mm-hmm.
and be brainwashed there.
Mm-hmm. Carmen Bin Laden, your parents were both European, I think Swiss and Iranian, am I right?
My mother was from Persia, but my father is Swiss, and I was born in Lausanne, Switzerland, and I lived always in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must have been quite a culture shock for you to come to live in Saudi Arabia. Describe for us what it was like for a woman raised in Europe to live in a country where women are treated so differently.
Well, you know, at the beginning, when I met my husband, I was very young, and I fell madly in love. I didn't realize it's something that you hear about. And it's something else actually to live it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at the beginning, in the mid-70s, when I went back in Saudi Arabia in 76 after having lived with my husband in California, then when I arrived there, it was just after the first oil embargo. You know, the oil embargo was 73.
Mm-hmm.
And money was pouring in Saudi Arabia, and suddenly this country came from the jumped from the middle age to the modern age materially. But you know, when you see all those material change around you, you hope that there will be an overture, and there will be a change morally too. Then, you know, the more I live there, the more I analyze that society, the more I realize that it will be very difficult for my daughter to live as Westerner and to have the freedom, because that society will not allow them as a woman to be what they wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. When you heard, I want to fast forward to September 11th now and ask you, when you first heard about the terror attacks on the World Trade Center and in Washington and in Pennsylvania, was there ever any doubt in your mind that your brother-in-law Osama had some role in this once you heard his name mentioned?
No, as soon as I, you know, a friend called me and said there had been an accident. And while he was on the phone from New York to me, unfortunately, the other plane hit the second tower. And at that moment, I knew it was a terrorist act. And, you know, first you are shocked, disbelief, and grief. And, you know, your first thought goes to the people who are working there.
Mm-hmm.
Then and while I called up my friend Mary Martha in California, and when she told me the third plane had hit in Washington, D.C., then, you know, I don't know, in the middle of all those feelings, terrible feelings, I knew that I had to get my daughter together and prepare them to have their name all over the news.
Where were you when it happened?
I was in a car with my eldest daughter, Wafa.
In what country? What country were you in?
In Switzerland.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you a question about, as far as, you know, did you, what is your connection with the Bin Laden family now? And did you ever see, like, Osama at weddings and stuff?
No, you have to realize that, excuse me, wedding reception in Saudi Arabia are segregated. There is woman and there is one part, there is the reception for the woman and the other part is the reception for the man. And the only time that Osama saw me face to face, he just turned his back right away, you know. It was by accident. He knocked at the door, asked for my husband, and instinctively, you know, as I'm an open person, you know, I opened the door. And here, that was in front of me, that tall man, and as soon as he saw me that I was not well, he turned his back and started walking away, waving me off. And I kept walking after him, telling him that my husband was in. Then the person who was with him, his nephew, told me it's Osama. Then I realized that I was in Saudi Arabia, that he wouldn't see me. Then I went in and I called my husband and I left the room.
Did he feel evil and powerful to you at that moment?
Well, he didn't seem powerful, but, you know, I have been enough in Saudi Arabia to know that men who are very religious, and this is the custom in Saudi Arabia, you don't look at somebody else's wife.
Oh, okay.
One final quick question. Were you aware of the controversy here in the States about people from the bin Laden family being flown either out of the United States or to other parts of the world in the immediate aftermath of September 11th? Were you aware of that in Switzerland?
Well, yes, of course, I am aware. And, you know, I have some contact, and I know that the Saudi embassy in the United States did everything he could to get the bin Ladens out of the United States, but I don't know when they left. I know how many days later after 9/11, but I know that the Saudi embassy in Washington wanted the bin Laden out.
Were you questioned by the authorities from the United States?
I'm sorry?
Were you questioned by the authorities, by the FBI or anybody about anything after the attacks?
Well, you know, I have made sure that the United States authority understand the situation of my daughter.
Right. Well, thank you for joining us, Carmen Bin Laden. The book is Inside the Kingdom, My Life in Saudi Arabia. Nice talking to you.
Great talking
thank
to you.
You.
Okay,
you.
Bye-bye. Why'd that feel a little awkward to me?
Well, I mean, look, the woman's in a very, I guess...
I mean, she's trying to write a book. She's written a book about life in Saudi Arabia, but, I mean, you know, she's Bin Laden's sister-in-law.
She's got the name Bin Laden attached.
How is that going
to
go any other way? It's like, great, the book's great, but tell us about the evil guy that used to hang out with your brother's brother, your husband's brother. I mean, you know, how you handle something like, and clearly she didn't, you know... One, I mean, she talked about it, but it was just...
Well, I mean, the encounter, which I think I had read about somewhere, the encounter when she wasn't wearing a veil, and Osama apparently wouldn't talk to her because she wasn't wearing a veil, wasn't dressed in traditional Muslim garb, apparently made quite an impact on her.
Yeah, it sounded like it. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Before Shock Jock.
All right, enough about that. Tell me about your pants.
Before Morning Zoo.
It's 7:20 on the Big Boss. That's right, we're stuck to sex.
Before liberal and conservative talk.
Tree hugger.
Warmonger.
There was a golden age of radio, and Sirius Radio Classics recreates that era with shows from the original comedy greats like Abbott and Costello, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, plus old radio serials like Dragnet and The Lone Ranger. Travel back to the real glory days. Sirius Radio Classics. 133.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month and your desire to ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpat. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them The Backpat. Now you try The Backpat. That's it. And pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people don't even know the truth. They know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I wanted the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Present.
It's Air America Radio.
Is that My Love? Let My Love Open the Door?
Who yes, it is. That's Pete Townsend, right? Yeah, Pete Townsend.
I know the song.
Yeah, Pete Townsend. Pete Townsend, the windmill of guitar players.
Yeah.
I played guitar for 3 hours the other day. I just sat there, smoked a cigar, and played guitar. Because you know what?
That's right. I am, like the punches, right?
I am a guitar genius in my apartment.
Uh-oh.
I have played with all the greats. I was sitting in with Muddy Waters and Jimi Hendrix the other day. And you know what? They were going, man, this guy can play. Until my neighbors went, shut up! Shut up!
And while you're at it, put out that cigar. It stinks.
General Tommy Franks is taking the rap.
One on the chin for the team, you know.
The mission accomplished banner. You know, that's all this administration does. They just disperse blame, and they hope that guys will take blame. And at this point, what has Tommy Franks got to lose for saying, hey, it was my idea, the banner?
That's right. I retired. They can't take my pension.
The question is, when will this president take responsibility for anything? For anything?
November 3rd.
He's got nothing, Mark. They got nothing. They got nothing to even run on. He's got no positive accomplishments. All he can say is, we got more work to do. And we turned a corner. We didn't turn a corner. We turned the economy into a ditch. We're going to talk to James Galbraith in a couple of minutes, I guess after the top of the hour?
Yeah.
But Frank's taking the blame. That's what this said. This administration is going to go down in history for the most amazing blame dispersal policy in the world. This president just sits there in a gilded cage, insulated from any responsibility, while everyone around him just sort of disperses blame, kind of lets it trickle out and watches it dissipate, unless we stay on top of it, my friend.
You know, Brendan, our producer, brought up a very interesting question. Was it Franks' idea to turn the boat so that the San Diego skyline couldn't be seen?
No, that must have been the producer.
That was Condoleezza Rice did that.
That
one
came right down from the evil mind of Karl Rove, who's got no respect for humanity, integrity, the authority of the presidency, for democracy. The guy has no respect for humanity. Did I say that already?
Yes.
Did I say that he has no respect for humanity? Did I say that he has no respect for the people of the United States? We have a speculative bit of quote here. He might have said this.
Mm-hmm.
It's from The Guardian. The U.S. election is, as they promised, getting very dirty. Karl Rove is said to have predicted, quote, by November, they won't even know whose side he fought on.
That's talking about John Kerry now.
In the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
What kind of guy, what kind of bastard who represents a bunch of chicken hawks, a bunch of guys who did not serve, who went out of their way to not serve, who got taken, I mean, Dick Cheney took 5 deferments, all right? George Bush, you know, clearly was AWOL, and yet they have the nerve to attack a veteran, a decorated veteran, and then hire other veterans who've got nothing better to do with their life except be bitter about, about John Kerry's success in the world, to attack him as well. That it's inhumane. It's such a lack of integrity. It's so
stinky.
Well, it's not smart politically either. I mean,
stinky,
you can excuse all of it if you thought it would be effective politically, but I really think it's got backwash. That every time you bring up John Kerry's war record, somebody's going to bring up George W. Bush's lack of sane.
We'll go into it after the break with the liberal agenda as well here on Air America Radio.
Planet Jack.
This green education fair has soul.
Our 9th annual Soul Fest celebration, which is the biggest fundraiser of the year for the Solar Living Institute, in which we bring great speakers, workshop presenters, and some incredible musical talent here to our site.
That's Duran Amaran, program director at the Solar Living Institute.
What we do is we promote sustainable living in a variety of ways.
People from all around the globe come to Soul Fest for workshops on green building and liquid solar renewable fuels, plus speakers galore.
Daryl Hannah is also a big environmental activist. Is also going to be here. Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!, Tom Hartman, he's got his own radio show, he's an author.
Other speakers include
Josh DeKell, who wrote the original manifesto, if you will, From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, about veggie fuel.
Soul Fest shines on August 21st and 22nd in Hoffman, California.
So check it all out on our website, soulfest.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Before Shock Jock.
All right, enough about that. Tell me about your pants.
Before Morning Zoo.
It's 7:20 on the Big Boss Show. That's right, we're sexist.
Before liberal and conservative talk.
Tree hugger.
Warmonger.
There was a golden age of radio, and Sirius Radio Classics recreates that era with shows from the original comedy greats like Abbott and Costello, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, plus old radio serials like Dragnet and The Lone Ranger. Travel back to the real glory days. Sirius Radio Classics. 133.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side is numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on 4 continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
It's me, Joe DiMassina, for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. I'm here to remind you, if you celebrate, then designate, because if you booze and cruise, you lose.
We can be strong and do anything if we dare to dream.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Getting me going.
I love this record. This is a big Mudhoney, big label failure. Hey, I love him. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Air America Radio. Just saying how Karl Rove is supposedly said this in The Guardian. This is supposedly a quote. We haven't got validation.
Allegedly.
Quote, by November, they won't even know whose side he fought on. And that's because of advertisements by the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth guys. Who put out one ad. Now their second ad's coming out. I think we got a copy of that. Can we hear that, Chris?
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
No, I don't know when that's not going to be funny to me.
We're going to put our listeners through that.
Commercial bad.
At least for another few days, man.
but the audacity of these guys. You know, we've got another quote. Maybe we'll hear it on the next top of the hour. Do we have time to hear that quote, that caller? Can we hear that caller, Chris? Do you have that?
Let me tell you what number it is. It's number 3.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that today's number 3?
No, it's a caller that we had a couple of days ago about in response to the Swift Boat guys.
Yeah,
let's hear that, because this was a pretty telling thing. All right, Fred in Georgia. How are you, Fred?
What's up, Fred?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
All right.
Hey, I just have a couple of quick comments to make, and you guys can take it away. But I'm a Vietnam veteran. I served in 68, 69 for 13 months with the 4th Battalion, 12th Infantry, 199th Light Infantry Brigade. I was a company commander.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about the same level, same rank that John Kerry was when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things you need to remember about Army awards. You can't get them unless they go before a review board.
Right.
It's all done pretty much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If these guys are questioning John Kerry's awards, they're questioning mine.
Right.
Because they're saying that mine are bogus, too.
Right.
And every Vietnam veteran ought to get really pretty pissed off about that.
Every veteran ought to get pissed off about the way that this president and the people that are running him, you know, are painting veterans. I mean, this is a president that, you know, refused to fund, you know, veteran benefits after the war. This is a president that had no exit strategy for Iraq. This is a president that's willing to drag a decorated war hero's name through the mud in order to, you know, make himself seem stronger. And this is a president that was AWOL. I mean, it's just these things, you've got to remember these things.
Allegedly AWOL. Actually, we had somebody that confirmed
it. We had someone who crunched the numbers.
Lawrence Korb, wasn't it?
Lawrence Korb from the Center for American Progress, which is a very...
Left-wing!
It's a left-wing think tank, thank God. It's just, you know, one of a few that are trying to fight the dozens of right-wing think tanks that have, you know, been up since 1972. All right, here's another left-wing think tank. Left-wing think tank. The Streisand compound has just sent us our liberal agenda. Here are your marching orders today. 1, quit job just to screw up unemployment statistics for Bush. 2, accuse the Manchurian candidate of being a tool of special interests. 3, find out why they hate us so much, then agree with them. 4, show solidarity by putting Sudan on your speed dial.
Oh, Lord.
5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, you know, Ashcroft has the camps all ready to go, end quote. We'll see you at the over this top of the hour here in a minute or two.
On the other side.
That's what I mean.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, The Liberal Confessional, the latest from the campaign trail, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and from Soul Coughing, Michael Doty joins us live in studio here on Air America Radio.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
Hi, I'm Meg Ryan for Doctors Without Borders. Did you know that more than 14 million people die each year from infectious diseases such as tuberculosis, sleeping sickness, and malaria? Doctors Without Borders, which works in more than 85 countries around the world, is tired of sending their patients home because the treatment is too old, too expensive, or not available. Get informed and get involved by visiting Doctors Without Borders' traveling exhibit called the Access Expo. It's coming to your city this year. For more information, go to their website, doctorswithoutborders.org.
Ben.
I am the innocent photograph. Did you like those who would have melody on you?
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. From all indications, the Al-Qaeda terrorist network remains alive and well. Based on the New York Times report this morning, the organization appears to be replenishing itself despite a spate of killings and captures of operatives around the world. The recent arrest of suspect Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan in Pakistan has led to a treasure trove of information on the operation of Al-Qaeda. Some of the information shows the organization has a deep lineup. Vacancies at the top have been filled by lower-level members and new recruits. The discovery may be a coup for the Bush White House by some pundits, but many believe it also creates new problems for the White House, since the president has been painting a completely different picture of al-Qaeda on the campaign trail. What's more, the source of information has dried up after the Bush administration disclosed the importance of the Khan arrest in justifying the recent upgrade in the terrorist alert level. In other news, the Homeland Security Department plans to begin deporting illegal immigrants more quickly while allowing some Mexicans on short-term legal visits to stay in the United States for up to a month. Asa Hutchinson, the Homeland Security Undersecretary who oversees border and transportation security, planned a briefing today on immigration issues. The department declined to comment Monday on his announcement, but congressional and other government sources who requested anonymity because of the pending announcement said Hutchinson would detail plans to accelerate deportation of some illegal immigrants arrested between legal ports of entry. The practice known as expedited removal already is in place at airports and land border crossing points. Hutchinson also was to announce that Mexicans crossing the border for short visits using so-called laser visas would be allowed to stay in the United States up to 30 days instead of the current limit of 72 hours. Black Republican conservative talk show host and now candidate for the U.S. Senate in the state of Illinois, Alan Keyes, is wasting no time hitting the ground running from the gate in his bid to derail the candidacy of popular Democrat and Harvard-trained attorney Barack Obama. Keyes dipped into the unpleasant past of the African-American history by suggesting Obama's views on abortion yesterday are that of a slaveholder's mentality. Keyes, towing the Republican conservative line, charges that legalizing abortion deprives the unborn of their equal rights. First Lady Laura Bush yesterday defended her husband's stance on a controversial issue of stem cell research. First Lady slammed the president's Democratic rival, John Kerry, calling him ridiculous for criticizing Bush's opposition to research. While Laura Bush's tone on Kerry was strident, she accused others who support the research as overstating the potential for medical breakthroughs. Mrs. Bush told an audience in Langhorne, Pennsylvania that, quote, "We don't even know that stem cell research will provide cures for anything, much less that it's very close to yielding major advances." First Lady weighed in on the highly charged political scientific issue on George W. Bush's third anniversary of limiting federal funding of the research. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio.
Something new's just come to town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names, big names. Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of pros. And they're bringing the big guns of the NFL to Sirius. Live 24/7. All NFL, all the time. NFL Radio.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with another Car Clinic Minute. Keys? Check. New car smell? Check. Contract? Check. You struck your best new car deal, but I'll bet you didn't figure on this. When I come back, I'll ensure you don't miss a very important calculation.
I'm Bobby Ligas with a tip about fuel injectors. The manufacturer that pioneered the best fuel injector cleaning equipment also makes the best fuel injector cleaner. That company is BG Products. Professionals use BG's 44K to eliminate injector fouling. If you expect professional results, ask for a professional product. Ask your shop for BG 44K or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
You just think you figure the cost of your new car, but don't put away that calculator yet. The added value of insurance could put a heavy drain on your checkbook. Vehicle color, sunroofs, stereo, and tinted windows don't count. But price, body type, rag tops, and weight compute to heavy dollars, as in hundreds every year. So tally the total cost of car ownership. Choose a vehicle, then compare rates among makes, models, and insurance companies. Since 37% of consumers interviewed plan to buy new cars within the next year, this advice will really add up. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
That's right. I want to give a little update on the kittens.
Yes.
Kitten alert.
What kind of food did you feed them?
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives. Yeah, this kid with the kittens. It's not about kittens. It's about the world. You can't. Oh, my God. I need breakfast. So, all right, look, I got these. I noticed the other day that there was these four kittens behind my apartment in the lot behind the hair salon. And a mother, like there's like a black one, there's an orange and red one, there's a gray one, there's four kittens, and they're back there, and I started to get freaked out about it, and I told a woman who's a real estate agent who rents the apartment underneath mine, and she had a bet that she was going to tell about it, but it turns out that these kittens and this mother cat have the run of about, you know, four or five lots.
Okay.
And the Ukrainian guy who owns the frame store right behind my house, the front is on third, in Queens.
Yeah.
All right. God. I'm like in some sort of brain skid here. Anyways, the kittens are being fed. They seem healthy. I can't get my hands around them. I know that the mother needs to be, fixed clearly. And there's a concern as to what's going to happen with the kittens. I haven't completely materialized all that, but they are being fed. They are having a good time. They have a lot of territory, but I've got to stop them somehow from making more kittens.
They got more space than you and they don't pay rent.
Absolutely. We know cats. And also my cats at home, Moxie and Boomer, are fine. Boomer is still being terrorized by a 17-year-old gutter cat that lives next door to me. Boomer goes out of the house to go under the house. It's sad. He's a skittish, weird cat. But then Moxie is fine. I do need to get a kitten, though, for here. So at least I have something to love.
Well, can't you lure one of the little kittens into your house?
I probably could. I don't know if I could just tease them into the house. I'm going to have to go down there, put gloves on, and grab the little cat.
Bumblebee. Think bumblebee tuna.
I'll get some tuna and steal them away from
the scatter it along the side of the building, and he'll run right up into
then
your
I gotta, yeah, take them to the vet, get them clean.
Get them clean.
And then just start feeding them, and eventually they forget about their parents, as would anything. So one thing I do want to say is all you hipsters, geniuses, poets, philosopher kings and queens,
bloggers, bloggettes,
register to vote.
Yes.
Register to vote. www.declareyourself.com. You can register by state, find your nearest polling place, get absentee ballot information, which might even be a good way to vote this year. Considering that they're trying to get the UN to come in and monitor votes, there has been some progress with that. I guess a international voting overseeing group.
Yeah.
I forget the...
As long as it doesn't say United Nations in front, people won't have a big
problem. Yeah, because they're just observing. They're not monitoring.
Yeah, they're observing. They're just checking things out. Maybe they'll learn how to do theirs better in their own countries,
I think they should monitor them. That might be an interesting way to create some jobs, at least for, the month of November.
Well, that's what our friend Congresswoman Corrine Brown,
yeah,
the bathtub lady.
Yeah, I mean...
She wanted monitors.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't there be?
Yeah, after what happened.
It's pretty clear to the entire country that there was a little bit of a problem. But so do that, because I know, people who think that either they live in a state that's already decided that it doesn't matter, it does matter, and I've been guilty of this myself. I have been through periods in my life where it's like, what, my vote doesn't really count.
Yeah.
It does count. They all count now.
You can mock the process if you want, but then when they come to your house and start telling you what you can and cannot do in your home, you'll know why.
It's interesting that, John Kerry is calling Bush to the mats a little bit. I just want to, they're misrepresenting Kerry a little bit, and we're going to talk about this more,
Bit?
Well, no, I mean, not the Republicans, but even the news media, in that, they're talking about, his reaction when pressed to the wall about how he would have voted. Would he still have voted
Yeah.
Or the, you know, for the Iraq,
The authorization to go to war, yes.
Right. The authorization for the president to make a decision. Now, the thing is that the Congress of the United States supports the efforts by the president, too. Here's some directly from this 107th Congress Joint Resolution on the Iraq War. It was strictly enforced through the United Nations Security Council, all relevant Security Council resolutions regarding Iraq. Obtain prompt and decisive action by the Security Council to ensure that Iraq abandons its strategy of delay, evasion, and noncompliance. The president is authorized to use the armed forces of the United States as he determines to be necessary and appropriate in order to defend the national security of the United States, enforce all relevant United Nations Security Council resolutions regarding Iraq. To use force, the president shall make available to the House of Representatives and the Senate his determination that acting pursuant to this joint resolution is consistent with the United States and other countries continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001. That was the resolution. He voted yes and said he would vote yes again to the terms of that resolution, all of which almost were broken by this administration in their decision to go at it unilaterally and invade a country that had no, and to this day proven no, links to Al-Qaeda terrorism or terrorism in general. This was a plan that neocons, you know, Wolfowitz and Pearl, mm-hmm. and, you know, and other people, Abrams, who were all on that the vision, the Pax Americana vision, they had this planned as early as 95 to get, you know, they were just waiting for the opportunity to go into Iraq. They saw the opportunity. They abandoned the war against terrorism in Afghanistan, which still goes on. The Taliban still in Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda rebuilding in Afghanistan. The democratic vote has been almost incapacitated in Afghanistan due to warlords, Taliban, and Al-Qaeda operatives.
And they got an election due October 9th, and nobody knows how they're going to pull it off.
And they're even saying that about Iraq. There's not going to probably be elections in January when this is supposed to happen because things are so out of control there. So let's not mistake what's happened here, is that Kerry was not necessarily for the war. He was for the war under these terms. He was for giving the president the authority to make a decision based on these terms, based on, you know, advice from the United Nations and whether or not it was a war against terror.
And proof of Iraq's noncompliance with United Nations resolutions. Remember that prior to the invasion, Saddam Hussein had essentially said, you know, inspectors, come on in, check us out. If that's what it takes to keep this from... Because remember, Saddam wanted to hold on to power. He did not necessarily want to go to war.
Right.
So his thing was, okay, you want to come in? Come on in. But by that time, the United States had already made up their mind that no matter how open Saddam had been, no matter what the scenario, they were ready to go to war.
And if you are supporting a president who will belligerently and stubbornly stand by his decision to go to war because it doesn't matter what the reason was, it's better for the world, then you are supporting and blindly defending a president who lies to you in order to do what he needs to do. And, you know, and you're willing to make yourself, you know, basically an abused spouse in a codependent relationship with no shelter available.
You know, this administration, Mark, has miscalculated on more than one occasion. I mean, we can say that the weapons of mass destruction thing was more than a miscalculation. It mm-hmm. seems to be an out-and-out fabrication. But, you know, this administration really felt that as they began to capture or kill Al-Qaeda operatives, that they would then diminish the organization, that there would not be people that would be able to step up and take the place of some of the people that they killed or captured. Much the same scenario, by the way, that governments, even prior to Bush's, have used in the war on drugs. Well, if you capture the main guys, you know, if you capture the Pablo Escobars of the world, well, then there won't be any more dealers because there won't be any, the leader, the brains of the operation won't be around. And in both cases, they've been proved wrong.
Let's talk about it after the break here on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that Smoke RX will work for you that we're giving away a free month's supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, Smoke RX is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month's supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Before Shock Jock.
All right, enough about that. Tell me about your pants.
Before Morning Zoo.
It's 7:20 on the Big Boss. Oh, that's right, we're stuck to sex.
Before liberal and conservative talk.
Tree hugger.
Warmonger.
There was a golden age of radio, and Sirius Radio Classics recreates that era with shows from the original comedy greats like Abbott and Costello, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, plus old radio serials like Dragnet and The Lone Ranger. Travel back to the real glory days. Sirius Radio Classics. 133.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
David DeBato, re-up for military service, was rejected, rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, you know, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called a community coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Go! 17, 18, past the hour. Mark Maron here on Air America Radio, Morning Edition with Mark Riley.
Hey!
Good morning. My therapist is out of town for 3 weeks. The dreams are building up. Here's last night. I'm a mountain goat. I'm 8,000 feet up in the Rockies. Good to get away from the city. No caffeine, no humidity, no blogs. Sleep as long as I want. Sweet. So I'm just eating some clover. Clearing out my system. It's a natural colonic, you know. When I took a, I look up on a ridge and there appears a magnificent ram with enormous curly horns. It's Kerry. Then on the opposite ridge appears another ram who just fell off his mountain bike. Bush. They got that look, man. It's headbutting time.
Uh-oh.
All the rabbits and elk and bobcats and beavers and mountain lions gather to watch the rumble. Mostly the late bets. You may not know this, but most mountain animals are degenerate gamblers. It's sad, really. So the Kerry ram and the bush ram put on their game faces and start charging towards each other. The animals are whooping and high-fiving, and then wham! Brutal sheep-on-sheep action. The valleys echo with the collision. Bush is down! Bush is down! Then the cutest little bunny in the world looks over at the wounded bush and says, "Come on, everybody! Let's rip them apart!" And all the animals pile on, ripping out bloody chunks of ram flesh. Then over the hill comes a wounded grizzly bear with aviator glasses. It's Chaney, and he's growling and swiping at them with his enormous paws, trying to stop the bobcats and beavers from feasting on Bush. Just then, a golden eagle, it's Edwards, swoops down and pecks out Chaney's right eye right through the glass. The animals swiftly devour him, too. Kerry and Edwards ascend to a peak, sunlight bathing them in glory. A beaver comes over to me with a slab of ram meat. It's tangy, Riley.
Oh.
Yep. I woke up and my bed was filled with Edelweiss.
Ooh.
Yeah. There you go. So getting on with it.
Edelweiss?
Yeah.
There used to be a club around the corner from where I used to live.
Oh, my
club.
God.
It was a transsexual
club. I know. Riley brings up the tranny club from back in the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They closed it, though. Too much.
It's a nice button to the pastoral. You know, we're up in the mountains. We're with weird, you know, animals that turn carnivorous in a political season. Then we're there with the she-males.
There you go.
Yeah,
it all fits.
I believe the bar is still there.
From
a conversation I had with a couple of comics the other night.
We got a new generation of Al Qaeda that's sprouting up.
So we're gonna shift from chicks with Cheneys to.
To terrorists without Cheneys.
All right.
No, it's interesting that the information that U.S. intelligence is getting from this guy, Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan, seems to indicate that contrary to previous assumptions, the Al-Qaeda operatives who are being caught and captured are, in fact, being replaced, and being replaced very, very quickly.
Well, this, I think, was also a political point that Bush wanted to make about his war on terror, was that this assumption that, you know, that what he was, the actions he was taking was not escalating the war, but was actually, you know, because...
winning the war.
Right, but because he had leaders detained, the assumption was, you know, falsely, that would stop the momentum of this force.
Well, you know, when you arrest drug dealers in the street, and this is something that is as old as drugs... When you arrest drug dealers in the street, a lot of people think, well, that's the end of the drug trade, but it never is, because there's always somebody else. Now, the interesting thing to me, Mark, is the question of why they are able to replenish their supply so quickly. And I'm talking about now the terrorists. Mm-hmm. Why are there so many people that want to be a part of this? It would seem to be a very nihilistic, very negative way to be, and death is at the end of the road, it seems. But there's no shortage of people to replace the people that either U.S., British, or other intelligence have caught, captured, or killed.
It's grim. It's grim. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's a couple of things going on. Obviously, the war in Iraq has mobilized a lot of, you know, moderate Muslims to sympathize with terrorism,
yes,
which is a problem in and of itself. And a lot of new recruits are occurring because they now have a very consolidated enemy in George Bush and his administration.
Yes.
They are belligerent. They are stubborn. They are not willing to be diplomatic or negotiate on any level, not even with people that could help them in the international community fight the war on terrorism, you know, outside of people they have political deals with.
Yes.
You know, so now we have this growing threat that want nothing more than to keep Bush in office on some level, because he has done more than Osama bin Laden ever did to make terrorism stronger, more centralized. I mean, now with Iraq, as we talked to Michael Ware yesterday, there is an entire region of Iraq that is just open to terrorist planning, to terrorists uniting,
yep,
to terrorist organizations actually working together. We have two letters from the terrorist group Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigade, which is linked to al-Qaeda. This letter was sent to the Al-Quds newspaper and was published... I guess it would be March. It was March already. But it literally says, you know, a word for the foolish Bush. We know that you live in the worst of days of your life in fear of death squads which spoiled your world. And we are very keen that you do not lose in the forthcoming election, as we know very well that any big attack can bring down your government. And this is what we do not want. We cannot get anyone who is more foolish than you, who uses force instead of wisdom and diplomacy. Your stupidity and religious extremism is what we want, as our people will not awaken from their deep sleep unless there is an enemy. Yes, that's what they said.
That's what they said?
Yes.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
It took me a while on the button there.
Now, but, you know what's the scary thing about this, though?
Yeah.
Let's assume for a moment that Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan is a computer hacker and that the American government got lucky in getting all this information, because this is where a lot of this stuff comes from.
Right.
How many more hackers do you think Al-Qaeda has?
There's that, and there's, you know, how many people who aren't necessarily in Al-Qaeda are feeding them information.
Exactly.
Why doesn't this administration, this country, you know, address the roots of this problem and start some sort of chain of at least conversation about, you know, the state of the Middle East? Why isn't any of that being done? Because this administration wants a state of perpetual war so they can maintain fear. You know, they had a Cold War apparatus in place, and now they've nationalized something that wasn't nationalized before. There's actually a region of terrorist activities now that wasn't there before the unilateral decision to go in Iraq, and now there's no exit strategy, and it's worse than a quagmire in Iraq because, you know, police stations are abandoned. You know, they had to call in the Marines yesterday because the Iraqi military is not, you know, bolstered enough to take on al-Sadr's militia.
And see, this is the thing about al-Sadr. Al-Sadr made a public appearance yesterday.
Yeah.
Each and every one of al-Sadr's public appearances is a direct smack in the face of the U.S. military, which has vowed to either kill or capture. You know how long ago that was? They said they were going to get him.
But now they can't do it. Politically, it would be a disaster.
It would be a disaster of unparalleled proportion.
And John Kerry has addressed, you know, Bush's, you know, handling of the war.
See, what happened was Bush has been questioning Kerry now, saying, look, you know, you say that you can do, you would do things differently. How would you have done things differently? And he's boiled it down to one essential question.
Yeah.
And that is, would you, yes or no, have voted now, knowing what you know now, to authorize the use of force with regard to Iraq? And John Kerry was with his wife at the Grand Canyon, of all places, when he explained, yes, he would have voted to use force, knowing what he knows now, but with some important caveats. Let's hear from John Kerry.
Yes, I would have voted for the authority. I believe it was the right authority for a president to have. But I would have used that authority, as I have said throughout this campaign, effectively. I would have done this very differently from the way President Bush has.
Exactly. And but to the authority, you can't misquote or miscontextualize what Kerry is saying. The authority, and within that authority, from the 107th Congress Joint Resolution on the Iraq War, October 10, 2002, it was involved, you know, what was within that was strictly enforced through the United Nations Security Council, obtained prompt and decisive action by the Security Council to ensure that Iraq abandons its strategy of delay, evasion, noncompliance, and also, most importantly, use force the President shall make available to the House of Representatives and the Senate his determination that acting pursuant to this joint resolution is consistent with the United States and other countries continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations. They were not affiliated with Iraq. They were not connected with Iraq. There is proof of that from the 9/11 Commission. And the action to act unilaterally has done nothing but encourage terrorism and make it worse, period. So make sure we understand that John Kerry was not saying he would vote to do that. He was saying he was voting to do it appropriately.
And John Kerry, of course, answered a direct question from President Bush. He had some questions of his own for the president.
Why did he rush to war without a plan to win the peace? Why did he rush to war on faulty intelligence and not do the hard work necessary to give America the truth? Why did he mislead America about how he would go to war? Why has he not brought other countries to the table in order to support American troops in the way that we deserve it and relieve the pressure from the American people?
From the American people.
When's he going to answer those questions?
In the debate, maybe?
Yeah, and when's he going to answer questions about the economy? Because we're going to answer some questions about the economy in a couple minutes. Right?
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk to James Galbraith.
Yeah, we're going to talk to James Galbraith about that growth of 32,000. They were predicting almost a quarter of a million new jobs. They got 32,000 during the month of July.
And you have to realize that the President's Council of Economic Advisers projected that the administration's latest tax cut package would result in the creation of 306,000 new jobs each month starting in July of 2003. Dig it, right?
Ooh.
So right now, since the tax cuts took effect, there are 2,565,000 fewer jobs than the administration projected would be created by the tax cuts.
Well, you know, they also had to revise some of the earlier rosier job predictions, some of the rosier job numbers. They had to adjust them down as well. When we come back, economist James Galbraith on sluggish jobs growth, the liberal confessional, and you on the telephones, only here on Air America Radio.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person, and so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it, too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Hi, I'm David Orrick. If you love your lungs, then purify the air in your home with the same technology used in our U.S. submarine fleet, the same advanced technology that's in my Orrick tabletop air purifier. I call my air machine a lung saver. You'll call it a miracle. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and breathe easier with the best air purifier you can buy.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. This word just coming in. A top White House official says President Bush will name Congressman Porter Goss to head the Central Intelligence Agency. Goss is considered an expert on intelligence matters. We'll have more within the hour. Wall Street Journal reports that President Bush is laying out a central economic picture of his reelection campaign, pledging an air of ownership, but some backers have issues with the president's program, charging it may not be attractive enough to counter voter anxiety over job growth and other economic issues. With violence still on the rise in Afghanistan, a top U.S. commander has pledged to tone down aggressive tactics and sweeps of Taliban-led insurgents in the country. Kinder and gentler approach comes as the nation prepares for general elections within a couple of months' time. Price of oil has hit a fresh record high following a Shia Muslim uprising in Iraq that prompted the nation's southern oil production to shut down. You're listening to Air America News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
The ATM. Insert your card, enter your PIN number, get 420s, and a handful of streptococci. Don't let germs interrupt your ATMing. Use Purell Instant Hand Sanitizer and kill 99.9% of most common germs that may make you sick. The CDC says eliminating germs on hands helps stop the spread of infection. So use the ATM, but use Purell because you may withdraw a fistful of cold, hard E. coli. Purell, powerful protection against germs.
The folks from off zipped me into this tent filled with 10,000 hungry mosquitoes and biting flies, but they're not biting me. That's because I've got the proven DEET protection of off Deep Woods. Off Deep Woods is like a shield against hungry, biting mosquitoes, including those that may carry West Nile virus. For the worst bug situations, you want the best protection you can get, and you just can't beat the DEET in off Deep Woods.
S.A. Johnson, a family company.
All right, this is Al Franken. Tuesday on the Al Franken Show, it's a guest overdose when the stars of the op part of the New York Times op-ed page stop by. The sage of Princeton, Paul Krugman, uses sheer brain power to screw our heads back on right, and sassy, savvy Maureen Dowd turns the right's favorite weapon, calculated ridicule, against them. That's all coming your way Tuesday.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanford on Air America Radio.
Go!
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, poets of all sorts, parasites, haters, whoever.
Haters.
This morning's edition of Mark Maron. That's Mark Ray. Mark Ring.
Mark
Riley. My friend, Mark Riley.
Weather.
So, only 32,000 jobs were created in July. Way below expectations. What do you think of that?
Mm.
Huh? This guy, our guest, who is a frequent guest on the show and one of my favorite thinkers, is the professor at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. He's an economist, and he's our salon guest of the day. Please welcome James Galbraith to the show again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So are you surprised 32,000 jobs were created in July?
I was not surprised.
Uh-huh.
And I've been writing in Salon since the job numbers went up in March that this was not going to last for very long.
Yeah.
But I was sitting out there all by myself.
Really? No one else was with you, huh?
No,
well,
you
I mean, when Greenspan raised interest rates back in the beginning of, at the end of June, the New York Times ran a big spread that said all of his critics wanted to raise them more because they thought the economy was accelerating out of control.
And you knew it was.
It was just an amazing display of lack of paying attention or failure to understand what's going on in our economy.
How come the jobs numbers were so, you know, they were so big in July and before July, I mean?
Well, there was a period when tax refunds particularly were coming in, and I don't know, stimulative effect of the Iraq war and some other things. And,
right.
Oh, and also, basically, the most important one was that people expected interest rates to rise, and so they were getting in on what they thought was going to be the last bit of the low interest rate refinance bonanza. So there was a lot of home building going on. But that wasn't going to last forever, and it didn't.
Yeah.
James Galbraith, I wonder, to an extent, I think a lot of Americans really haven't felt the full effect of this alleged recovery that we're going through. Do these jobs numbers prove, perhaps, that the American people were right and the media and the people in government who were telling us how great the recovery was were all wrong?
Absolutely. That's mm-hmm. exactly what they prove. I mean, I think Americans have understood that the economy has been on a kind of low-interest life support since the bust, since the internet bust, really, and you know, the it's been basically kept afloat by the fact that households have been willing to take on more debt to support their consumption. Banks have been willing to lend it to them, but there's this old law which I keep citing. It goes back to my favorite Republican economist, Herbert Stein, who was chief of the Council of Economic Advisors under Richard Nixon. He said, when a trend cannot continue, it will stop.
Mm-hmm. You know, I read a piece in one of the business pages here recently that said, quoted an economist as saying, consumers cannot bear the entire burden of fueling this recovery for very long. Was that an accurate statement? Or is it really consumption that is responsible for any of this growth at all?
Basically, the economy was being supported by consumption, yeah. Business has been flat for 4 years, and while the war has certainly had an effect last year, that's been tapering off. So it's been substantially, it's been consumption, yeah.
So do you think that this is going to be the big issue come November, that the economy is really what it's going to come down to?
Well, no. I think the disaster in Iraq is terribly important, but the economy certainly cuts as well, and people have got to understand that the economic situation is not fixed. But I think people do understand that.
Right.
The important point, though, is that this message is being is flogged by propaganda. We
right.
have an entire community which runs from the business economists who work for the brokerage houses and the investment banks, and the media reports what they say, and they are incurably optimistic. They don't have any analysis behind their optimism, but for years they've been telling us that what George Bush is saying now, that prosperity is right around the corner, we've turned the corner, things are going to get better from here on.
And that's a lie.
Well, it is simply based upon ignorance.
Okay. I'll call that a lie.
Wait a minute. Didn't Hoover say that around 1930?
Oh, there's a marvelous parallel between what Hoover was saying in 32. Prosperity is just around the corner, and what George Bush is saying today. It's absolutely. I don't know. You know, they must have some really good interns who can go research those old newspapers for speech lines.
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't want to be quoting Hoover, I don't think. But that's all he's got, really. All he's got is lip service. Now, someone like Kerry, what do you think of his economic plan? Has he got one that's going to work?
Well, Kerry's plan, I mean, this is going to be an issue that Kerry's going to have to deal with. Kerry's plan has been predicated on the general assumption that things are going to, generally speaking, get better, and that you need to have steps to deal with health care, with our energy problem, to create jobs by discouraging outsourcing and promoting manufacturing. And that's all good. And I don't think Kerry could have done anything else, because if he'd said, look, things aren't going to get better, he would have sounded, you know, very much off the he would have been out of the mainstream of discourse, and you can't really do that.
Right.
But when evidence like this begins to come in, I think what we're going to have to see is that people are going to have to start thinking seriously about the possibility that the economy is going to be really flat come next year. And the difference between Kerry and Bush is that Bush is committed to doing nothing. He's committed to a program that he put in place three or four years ago, whose basic premise is things are going to get better. Now let's talk about cutting taxes for the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a program which we now see is not going to produce long-term recovery. Kerry, at least, is a guy who can think freshly about this issue. And if I turn out to be right, and I'm still pretty much in a minority on these questions, and, you know, if people like me turn out to be right, then I think we can expect that Kerry will rethink. That's the important thing. You need a guy who's in there who can look at the issue with a pair of fresh eyes and an open mind, and deal with it as the evidence accumulates. Mm.
Professor James Galbraith, who is a professor at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin, there are some people who have criticized John Kerry, saying he's long on programs, but he really hasn't talked about deficit reduction. They feel that if you're going to rescind some of the tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, that money should go toward deficit reduction rather than some of the programs that you just talked about. Who's right?
Well, deficit reduction is, you know, it would be nice to get it down the road, and Kerry's program calls for reducing the deficit in half over a couple of, over 4 years. But timing is everything. If you can get economic recovery, you can get the deficit reduction.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the deficit reduction first, and you're basically raising taxes, not just future taxes and taxes on the wealthy, but taxes across the board, which Kerry says he isn't going to do, then you would slow the economy. If you cut spending too much, you're going to slow the economy. So you would then get a feedback through the tax mechanism, and the deficits would go up rather than down. So you have to have a policy to have full recovery in order for the deficit reduction piece to fall into place. And that is going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for Kerry when he becomes president. It's got to be handled basically with a sensitivity to the actual state of the economy.
Well, hopefully he'll pull it off. Thank you, James Galbraith. I've always appreciated having you here. Okay, take care. Give us a call with anything that's on your mind. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. We'll take your calls after this on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning's Edition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Ah, sorry, that's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Sirius. Hey people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loony want to bring on. Because I can't be fought. I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Janet, a single mom, wants to buy a home. I give her a plan to do so after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
So how does a single mom buy a home?
I need to get myself on some type of a budget so that I can buy a house. I'm a single mother.
What do you make a year?
$15,000.
What I would do is two things towards being able to save some money. And you need to build an emergency fund first and then a down payment. So you're a ways from buying a home. You need to rent something very, very cheap. And anything we cannot pay out in rent is going to be towards the savings. So short term, then, we need to probably pick up part-time jobs, which is difficult with a baby. Again, it's not a great idea to work 60, 70 hours a week when you got a baby at home. I understand. There's just no magic pill that's going to make $15,000 jump into $10,000 into a savings account. Got to do is we got to get the income up short term and long term. Now, the answer long term is easier but harder, and that is education. You've got to start reading like crazy. You need to read a nonfiction book a month on something that you want to get into, something that you want to make yourself an expert on.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
One of the key ingredients for our success at Schwab is making sure we always have great service in combination with low prices.
With trades as low as $9.95, Schwab's new Trades for Less has lowered the cost of online equity trades.
That's why you come to a firm like Schwab, to get a better opportunity to diversify, a better opportunity to get the best possible deal when it comes to investing. That's what everyone is looking for, and that's what Schwab provides.
Schwab offers online equity trades as low as $9.95, plus advice, industry-leading equity research, and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local branch today.
$9.95 rate requires enrollment in Schwab Trader CT or at least $1 million in household assets. Other trading discounts subject to eligibility requirements. Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
We got some breaking news, and all I'm going to say about that, I'm going to do Birth of a Nation here in a second. It's Mark Maron here. I'm with Mark Riley. It's Tonight's Edition on Air America Radio. But we got callers coming in, 866-303-2270. I'm going to tip it like this. If you can call us from Florida and tell us what you know about Porter Goss, we'd appreciate it. Right now, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 43. Leaders of Iraq, what's up? Not feeling well today? All right. I read a story that says there are some travel operators that want to bring tourists over there. Yes. Unfortunately, the word getaway has a much different connotation in your country. All right. Let's talk about hospitality. Right now, most of your visitors come from Iran or Syria and fall under the category of militant extremists. Not your ideal tourists. They don't stay long, don't spend a lot of money, and have a bad tendency to blow up their cars. So how do you go about attracting the family trade, the busloads of retirees, the honeymooners, the big spending Japanese? Well, let's start with the downside. You used to have fabulous antiquities, but most of them have been looted, and no one wants to look at your brand new ruins, okay? Water parks are out of the question. Basra is your only beachfront, and that's an oil terminal. We're keeping that just as it is, thanks. Now, here's the upside. Two words, okay? You listening? Casino gambling. You have a climate very similar to Las Vegas, so why not make the most of it? And in terms of name recognition, you're sitting on a gold mine. Check this out. Babylon. It says decadence, sin, great whores. You'll be beating them away with a stick. Yeah, if you don't shoot them, exactly. Remember, what happens in Fallujah stays in Fallujah. Until then, good luck and God bless. Yeah, this is day 43 of Iraq. Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Break that news, Riley.
Hey.
We'll take some calls.
Porter Goss. Some of you may remember him. He is a conservative Republican congressman from Florida. He's been there since 1988. He is also an ex-CIA agent and chair of the House Intelligence Committee. He has been tapped by President Bush to head the CIA, replacing magician John McLaughlin.
But the magician will still be there, won't he? Won't he be in the house doing tricks?
I don't know. He might.
McLaughlin is still, I would imagine, will remain.
Well, he's
not as the head.
Yeah, right.
Now we got Goss, who's a conservative Republican congressman, as you said, a former CIA agent. He was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, which I guess will be ending. He voted yes on constitutional amendment to ban flag burning in 1999, 2001, 2004.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's also going to be a defender of CIA turf, which means that he, and we have some sound of this, actually, Porter Goss is not exactly down with the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission to appoint a new intelligence czar that would have some authority over budget and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Goss is not really down with that. And we have actually a quote from Porter Goss saying that the Congress should not rush into changes in response to the September 11th Commission.
We cannot afford to make changes blindly or in an unnecessary haste. We can ill afford to rush to judgment any more than we can tolerate needless delay. These issues are too critical. We must pay attention to the details. And believe me, there are a lot of details.
So he's basically, that was his campaign speech for the job. So
yeah.
What they're doing is they're not really accommodating the 9/11 committee's requests. What they're doing is, you know, putting somebody in to a post that, you know, oddly, well, we thought was going to be filled after the elections, but they're placating the commission with this appointment.
Yeah.
And basically, it probably means business as usual, I'm thinking.
It sounds like it. I mean, here's
and he's the guy that toes the line.
Yeah. I mean, now, the quote that we just played was last week. It was on August 4th, and he was quoted in Washington. Let's hear what he had to say on July 23rd about CIA oversight.
I agree. We can always improve our oversight, and we should always keep working at it. But I will say one thing. There is no country in the world, none, not one, anywhere, that has got better oversight of its national foreign intelligence program than the United States of America.
Again, towing the line.
Yes.
And not really true, as it turns out. We've got callers on the line here. You can call us at 866-303-2270. We're going to talk to some callers from Florida about Port of Gaza after this on Air America Radio.
The presidential election is just around the corner. The right has their propaganda. Make sure you have yours. Northern Sun can help. For over 25 years, we've been supplying the American left with t-shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and a whole lot more. Do you think we need a president selected fairly? Tell your fellow Americans with a bumper sticker. Redefeat Bush in 2004. Do you think we need a smarter president? Say it with a t-shirt. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing an idiot. Do you think we need an honest president? Tell him with a bike sticker. Bush lied, thousands died. With hundreds of bumper stickers, buttons, and American-made t-shirts, Northern Sun can help you wear your thoughts on your sleeve, car, or bicycle. Visit northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog. And if your group has a unique message, we can custom print it on shirts, buttons, or bumper stickers. Remember, regime change begins at home, so let's vote Bush out. Call 800-258-8579 or visit northernsun.com. Thank you, and God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Sirius Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. He already loves Sirius. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under Business Subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Melvin A. Goodman, Professor of International Security at the National War College.
I don't think there's ever been a greater intelligence scandal than the one we're living through. This is, to me, worse than the intelligence failure at Pearl Harbor, worse than the intelligence failure with regard to not understanding the weakness of the Soviet Union. In some ways, it's worse than 9/11, which was indeed an intelligence failure in which 3,000 people died. But to take this country to war, to manipulate the Congress of the United States, to manipulate the American people, and it's still being done, even though David Kay made it clear that essentially every intelligence assessment of the CIA was wrong. Where I disagree with Mr. Kay is that he believes that George Bush was a victim of this intelligence, which I think really is somewhat naive and nonsensical on David Kay's part. Bush wasn't the victim of this intelligence. He was the one who manipulated this intelligence.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Alcohol. It's a tough topic for parents and kids to talk about. Sometimes you'd rather say nothing, but that's no solution. If you're a parent, talk to your children about alcohol and what you expect of them. Then listen to what they have to say. And be sure to use alcohol responsibly yourself. Good parenting is the best defense against underage drinking. Use it. To find out more, contact the National Clearinghouse for Alcohol and Drug Information at 800-729-6686.
But he never said he was. But
right
he never.
Stuart.
He never said he wasn't going to be for Bush. He just said that this, you know, that what they were doing with the Swift veterans was, you know, really low down and wrong. But I mean, he never once ever said he was going to stop campaigning for Bush or not be on Bush's team.
Yeah, well, then he did.
No problem. I mean, you have my thoughts about that phony John McCain. But as far as Port of Gaza goes, here in Florida, there is a saying that the farther north you go in the state from south to north, the farther south you get. So he's from some Yahoo area. That's true. I mean, it should be like North and South Carolina. It should be North and South Florida, ending at West Palm Beach down. It should be where the normal humans live, and the knuckle-dragging Neanderthals live in the rest of the state.
All right.
Gee, tell us how you really feel, Stuart.
I beg your pardon?
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I am.
I'm joking, Stuart.
But Porter Goss is just like George Herbert Walker Bush. He's a CIA, ex-CIA operative, just like George Herbert Walker Bush was.
Uh-huh.
And and now he's going to head the CIA. So, if you love the CIA under George Herbert Walker Bush when it really stunk up the joint, you'll love it under Porter Goss.
Thanks for your call, Stuart. Nice to talk to you again.
All right, appreciate it.
Stuart down in Hollywood, 866-303-2270. He's a little hard on his...
really.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, there are actually some Democratic knuckle-draggers, as would have it.
Well, Rodney Alexander, who just switched parties, might be one of them.
Oh, right.
Do you remember him?
Yeah.
From the other day, from Louisiana. But, I mean, look, Porter Goss... And this appointment should really surprise no one. It really does give George Bush some wiggle room now. Between now, he can say, "Well, look, we got this guy. He knows all about intelligence. He was the head of the Intelligence Committee in the House. He's a former agent. He'll handle and ride herd on the agency. So we really don't have to reform the intelligence community quite as deeply as the September 11th committee commission.
Quite as deeply. It seems that there's a chance that they won't need to do anything. I mean, this guy's got to get acclimated. He's got to assess whatever liabilities there are within the CIA.
Well, remember, he's got inside information on all this because he was chair of the intelligence committee. He's been privy to all of these briefings. He's been privy to the terror threat alert stuff. He really, as chair of the committee, is at least he's supposed to be very, very knowledgeable, certainly one of the most knowledgeable people in Congress about how the intelligence community works. Now, the question of reform, you heard what he said. He said, look, we don't need to rush into these things, but we are, and Mark, you know this, we are only a terror attack away from people really starting to throw blame about how slow this administration has been in trying to reform the intelligence community. Bush really is treading a very fine line here, and this, I think, should be seen as a gambit as he treads that line. This is something that he feels he can get away with doing. It's something that he feels people will not object to. It will give the illusion and appearance of his taking decisive action, something he needs to do at this point, but it's not going to force him to confront some of the ugly truths about America's lack of intelligence coordination that led to the September 11th attacks in the first place.
Right, exactly. I understand exactly what you're saying. I think you're right. And people were calling this, like a month or so ago after Tenet dropped out.
Yeah.
They thought that, Porter Goss was probably going to be the guy, that he was a team player, and that a lot of things wouldn't really change necessarily, but this would be the bone that he throws the world in relation to the 9/11 committee's request to create a post, a cabinet post.
Yeah, and I don't think Bush really wants to create a cabinet post with teeth, and putting Porter Goss in charge of the CIA allows him to say, well, we just appointed somebody with teeth.
He's going to run out of Democrats to blame pretty soon.
Well, when he runs out, he always goes back to John Kerry.
the main
Democrat. Yeah, or
pulls
Clinton.
Pulls the Clinton doll out. So we're going to have the liberal confessional after we come back at the top of the hour. What else we got? We got
a bunch of stuff. We got the presidential daily briefing. We've got Soul Coughing's Michael Doty. And remember, I mispronounced his name yesterday. I'm not making the same mistake twice.
He's a good guy.
The liberal agenda and the presidential pop pilot all here on Air America Radio.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms.
So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There have been speculation back and forth of whether President Bush would make a change at the Central Intelligence Agency following the resignation of George Tenet earlier this summer. There have been talk from the White House insiders that Bush would make an appointment before the election. Still others felt that Acting Director John McLaughlin would stay on until after the election. Well, it seems now that McLaughlin will have a short shelf life as the president, according to White House sources, will announce the appointment of Congressman Porter Goss. He's considered an expert in intelligence matters. He now heads the House Intelligence Committee. Goss is a Republican from Florida, as many of you know, and is perceived by many as one who will toe the White House line on intelligence matters and not yield to the demands of the 9/11 Commission with respect to Intelligence Committee changes. There were several in a group voicing opposition to the proposed resolution, but an overwhelming number of American Bar Association members voted to pass a resolution condemning the government's handling of foreign detainees. ABA criticized the government's methods as widespread pattern of abusive detention methods. Association says the White House fed terrorism by painting the U.S. as an arrogant nation above the law. Some within the group felt it was a cheap shot at the White House. Homeland Security Department plans to begin deporting illegal immigrants more quickly while allowing some Mexicans on short-term legal visits to stay in the United States for up to a month. Asa Hutchinson, the Homeland Security Undersecretary who oversees border and transportation security, planned a briefing today on immigration issues. The department declined comment yesterday on his announcement, but congressional and other government sources who requested anonymity because of a pending announcement said Hutchinson would detail plans to accelerate deportation of some illegal immigrants arrested between legal ports of entry. The practice known as expedited removal already is in place at airports and land border crossing points. Hutchinson also was to announce that Mexicans crossing the border for short visits using so-called laser visas would be allowed to stay in the United States up to 30 days instead of the current limit of 72 hours. It was not immediately clear when the changes would actually take effect. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry yesterday responded to President Bush's question with several questions of his own on the issue of war in Iraq. Kerry declared that he would have voted to authorize the war in Iraq knowing what he does now, but he would have used the power more effectively than the incumbent president. Democratic presidential nominee Kerry said he hoped to begin reducing the number of U.S. forces in Iraq within a six-month period from taking the Oval Office. Kerry said that it's an appropriate goal to have, but Kerry clarified that any ambitious goal like that one would be supported by broader international assistance. Kerry responded to Bush's criticism on the issue of war in Iraq while in a campaign stump in the area of Grand Canyon yesterday. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Unleashed. Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Jim Brewer Unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli from the gang. There'll be no strippers.
There'll be no cinnamon.
There'll be no hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no bitches. There'll be no delinquents.
I'm off the leash.
What's up?
I'm come over there and punch in the snot box, Charlie. Come hang out. It's Jim Brewer Unleashed, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where what that?
Sirius 147.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Larry's stepfather says Larry should get a prenuptial agreement before tying the knot. I advise that.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Larry get a prenup before walking the aisle?
My stepfather says I need to consider getting a prenuptial agreement. I was wondering what's your take on that.
My take is that if I couldn't trust someone with money, I wouldn't trust them with my life. I think your stepfather is dramatically wrong.
Dramatically wrong. I guess his thing is, if she doesn't sign it, she's pretty much a gold digger, I guess.
And you got, do you have some money?
I have some.
How much?
$20,000.
If she's a gold digger, if she's after your money, she's a loser.
Okay.
I mean, she ought to be going after somebody with $2 million, wouldn't you think? No, I don't think she's after your money, man. And if you've got to worry about the money, then you got other stuff to worry about, and you're not ready for marriage yet. If somebody loves their money more than they do their potential spouse, then they're not ready for marriage yet. I think prenup agreements are planning a divorce, and I'm not going to go into anything with a plan to lose.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat down, buddy. Here you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in.
But Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Why don't they talk about the issues with fighting for our lives here?
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
And I'm Mark Maron, and that's Mark Riley. And you know what, Riley, let me just tell you something here.
Where? Tell me something.
Sometimes it's not easy being a liberal. You understand what I'm saying? We all stray from the straight and narrow progressive path from time to time. So when I need to unburden myself, I step into the Morning Sedition Confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley. I've sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Brother Riley, sometimes I'm on the subway, man, and I'll see an Arab guy. I'll see an Arab guy with a beard with no mustache, all right? I'm not judging, you know what I'm saying, but I'll see him, and he'll be working the beads, and he'll be, you know, his eyes will glaze over a little bit, praying out loud, and I think Al-Qaeda. You know, I know. Okay, look. There's a 0.00001% chance that that guy's going to ever hurt me in any way, but sometimes I'll see someone who looks like that, and I'll change cars, Riley.
I see. You know, you're going to have to do some heavy-duty penance for this one, but go ahead.
All right, but look, the whole climate of fear is getting in my head. Well, it's working me, man. I see mugshots of wanted terrorists on TV, and I have to remind myself, dude. I mean, I struggle with myself that the guy on the N train is not one of them.
You know that racial profiling is completely un-American, don't you?
Of course, man. Of course. Racial profiling is wrong, and I hate it. And I hate it when cops do it, you know. But, I mean, you know, who hit the World Trade Center? It wasn't the Scotch-Irish.
Hold up. What about Timothy McVeigh? Terrorists come in all shapes and colors. There are probably terrorists out there that look like you, from Hamas, maybe.
Hey, what are you saying? All right, you're right. All right, you're right. All right, please, give me some penance. I'm begging you.
For your penance, I'm going to make you wear a turban and a fake beard, no mustache, for a week, and ride the subways so you can get a sense of what it's like to have people judge you before they know the first thing about you. With a little luck, you won't be detained for a WWA.
WWA?
Walking while Arab. Now go and sin no more.
Amen. Thanks, man.
It's okay.
Wow, that was, I feel better. I feel unburdened. I'm a little burdened, though.
Uh-huh.
He said, as a segue, that the fact that the administration went ahead and politicized the terror alerts, because as we have said before on this show today, that the alerts that were on the information taken from that disc from that guy Khan from Pakistan, these were not only was it old information, but it was information they should have known. First of all, this is my belief, that you should have the list of the top 50 targets in America. The Homeland Security Company, or whoever's in charge, Ridge and Company, should know. I mean, I know what they are. I could probably sit and list them. They should know. They should secure them as best they can, and they shouldn't have to tell us about it every 5 minutes, okay?
But you know what the problem is with that?
What?
They are projecting the idea to the American people that they do, in fact, know. They may see, what they're trying to say is, well, we may not tell you everything.
Yeah.
But we know.
Yeah.
And the fact is, with each passing day, we know more about what they don't know.
But exactly. How are they projecting that by saying we've just found information that's 4 years old? And we know. You know, I think that, you know, what you're saying may be true, but I think it backfired on them. You know, I think that, you know, all they could say is, yeah, it's open information, but it's been added to. And now they tipped the guy off. They not tipped him off. They ratted him out or whatever. Yeah. They leaked it. Right.
No, so, ratted him out works.
Right. In order to politicize that, they took some heat because they were creating a terror alert based on old information. So then they said, but we got this guy. We were using him as a mole, and we got him. So we want you to know we got him. So they chose to take the gamble in admitting they had the guy to politicize that, so people would believe they were doing something, and overlooking the fact that now they could have ruined a whole sting operation where 15 or more Al Qaeda operatives were involved.
Well, let's go back over this.
All right.
Because it's important for people to understand exactly what went on here.
Yeah.
That Sunday, I remember because I was coming back from Long Island, I think. Mm-hmm. A week ago Sunday.
Yeah.
Tom Ridge, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon press conference. Highly unusual for the director of Homeland Security to talk about this terror threat alert being raised. They had specific information. They had buildings, et cetera, et cetera. They thought that the American people would take the terror threat for what it was. They were wrong. From Sunday until Wednesday, a constant drumbeat led in some cases by Howard Dean.
What was it, though? It was a campaign device. They take it for what it was. Be afraid. Vote for us, dummies.
Yeah.
Right. Howard
but
Dean.
But see, there was a they didn't count on people questioning the political nature of the alert itself. That they didn't count on. They thought that people would take the alert at face value.
Right.
Suddenly they turned up on Tuesday,
right,
and people are still talking about whether or not this alert was real or bogus or whether it had any political implications. And suddenly they said, whoa, wait a minute. We can't afford to have the American people questioning this thing. We are going to have to show people one way or the other that the terror threat alert was valid and not bogus and not political. The only thing they could think of, all right, and this is the problem, the only thing they could think of was to say, well, wait a minute, we have this guy over here, Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan, I've memorized
right.
his name now,
right.
this Pakistani hacker who gave us all this information, and therefore you should know, even though some of it may be old, you should know that this guy is the reason why the alert was not political.
Genius, right? So now that you rat the guy out, turns out the guy's been, you know, working for the authorities in Britain and Pakistan as a turncoat guy.
Yeah, now let's understand what he was doing.
I'm not saying that in a good way.
Because this was this is some dangerous stuff this guy was doing, even though he was in custody. The bottom line to what he was doing was continuing to send out emails to Al-Qaeda operatives, alleged Al-Qaeda operatives, around the world. He had around-the-world access. This hacker was the one that was transmitting information from Nigeria,
right.
from Mauritania, from all these different places all over the world.
They had tips out.
To these different
right.
operatives.
Right.
Had they kept him quiet, had he been able to continue doing this,
we would have actually been fighting the war on terror.
Well, yeah, and we might well have found where the Al-Qaeda cells inside the United States are, which
yeah.
we do not now know. Francis Townsend, who is the counterterrorism something or another in the Bush administration, admitted the other day, we don't know where they are
yeah.
inside the United States. This guy could have helped pinpoint it but for the fact that the Bush administration responded to something political with something political, ratted the guy out, and thereby made him completely impotent as far as continuing to traffic in these emails that got us more intelligence.
Right, and let it cut a few guys off the hook because there wasn't enough evidence to nail him. Pakistani intelligence, British intelligence, very upset about this because this president chose to politicize the war on terror rather than fight it. Now, let's just hear Rich here.
We must understand that the kind of information available to us today is the result of the president's leadership in the war against terror.
Mm-hmm. We don't do politics in the Department of Homeland Security.
Hold on a minute.
We must understand that the kind of information available to us today is the result of the president's leadership in the war against terror.
We don't do politics in the Department of Homeland Security.
Two-day difference. Mm-hmm. But you're right. So this president is choosing not to fight the war on terror because they want this war to last forever.
Now, ask yourself this question. What do you think the Pakistanis are saying right now? Here's these people that have been pressured. Musharraf's government has been pressured. Colin Powell went over there. All these Bush administration people went over there. Get us Al-Qaeda people. Get us Al-Qaeda people. And what happens? They get somebody who can actually help them get Al-Qaeda people. And the United States messes it all up.
Well, when they realize, like, hey, wait a minute, we got him, then they ruin the whole investigation we were doing with the British guys so they could stay in charge, that they don't really want to fight the war effectively. They just want to maintain power. Hey, wait a minute, but wait, we still want to be their friends.
Well, yeah, we got to be their friends.
Right.
We got to beef with India that won't quit, and we don't want them messing with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Bush can't give the Pakistanis a tax cut like he did people here.
This stuff makes me so aggro. I can't wait for a little relief. We got Mike Doty coming up after the break with a little musical relief.
There you go.
I've been looking forward to this for the last 3 days. And we got more, you know, we got funny, too, after this on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Sirius is at the Newport Jazz Festival. On August 14th and 15th, we'll bring you America's greatest outdoor jazz party direct from Rhode Island.
One more time.
This year is the 50th anniversary of the festival, and all the biggest stars are coming out to celebrate. Dave Brubeck, Herbie Hancock, Harry Connick Jr., Branford Marsalis, and many more. Don't miss this historic two-day event. It's Sirius live from the Newport Jazz Festival, August 14th and 15th, starting each day at noon Eastern on Pure Jazz 72.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. Tell me how your use of the resume and the things that you highlighted in it changed over the years.
Well, I guess the first thing to note is that every resume should be filled with accomplishments. And somewhere around 90% of the typical resumes that are sent into organizations these days list responsibilities. I was responsible for. And employers don't want to know that. And if you realize that an employer will take a look at a stack of resumes, which is your first contact with them, he will give or she will give the first viewing of the resume a maximum of 45 seconds. So if I've got 100 resumes in front of me, I'll go through them, I'll give each one 45 seconds, and they will look for accomplishment words. And then they'll work for accomplishments that are relevant to the job we're talking about. So in 45 seconds, you have to have that impact on them.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared.
When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out.
I just thought, the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Past the hour. How do you like that, Mark Riley?
I like it.
Go out and vote. www.declareyourself.com. I know some of you are above it. You're ironically detached. You think there's more important things. You think your state's already in the bag. Go do it. Vote. You can register by state. Find your nearest polling place. Get absentee ballots.
Don't be like me back in the day. I used to think it was more important to go dancing than to vote. So.
No, you got
to
vote. All of us got to vote. You know why? Because we're in trouble, and we're talking about the issues here. We're fighting for our lives in the studio. Former frontman of Soul Coughing, now a solo artist. You can also go to his website at www.superspecialquestions.com. Mike Doty.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. Nice to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. It's been a while.
It has. Mike used to come down and see me perform at Luna. Years ago,
back in the day, religiously.
Back when I invented.
Wait a minute, you got it back in the day too?
Sure, I got it back in the day.
He's really always getting on me about my back in the day because he was too young to remember my back in the day.
Back in the era of grunge when Mark Maron invented alternative comedy.
Yeah, like, I was the godfather of alternative comedy. And I always detach myself from that now because, you know, because it's like, no, I'm just a regular comic. Alternative comedy to most people just means, oh, they don't get paid and they're not funny. But, you used to come down a lot, and you saw me blow a couple of fuses.
Yeah, really good fuses.
Oh, thanks, man. So what is this project you're involved with?
Well, it's a CD called Future Soundtrack of America, and it is a fundraiser for MoveOn.org and Music for America.
Yeah.
And basically it's a lot of artists that are upset by the Bush agenda and wanted to do something.
Who are those other artists, including you?
Well, you got your Death Cab for Cutie, your Blink 182, R.E.M., David Byrne, Tom Waits.
Tom
Waits, yeah.
William from the Black Eyed Peas.
Will I Am. Yeah.
That was someone's conscious choice. Like, I need something hooky. Will I? Hey! Put the bong down. We got a winner. I don't know anything about the guy.
Well, you know, he does a song that you might know about a little bit.
What's that?
They changed the title to Let's Get It Started.
Yeah.
But on the CD, it's called Let's Get the R Word.
What? Oh, really?
Yes.
Let's get retarded.
Retarded. He's not allowed to use that word.
He's not allowed to use the R word?
No.
It's my own choice.
Oh.
But I
blogger's got on his case about it.
Was it the bloggers? I think it was
either a blogger's or an email or a phone call. Any of the communications that we get here, dude, got on his case about it.
Dude, stay away from the internet, people, man. They're like the trolls that dwell under the bridge of your life.
Dude, I've sworn to myself that I wouldn't become a blog bitch.
Yeah.
And some mornings I am blog bitch, other mornings I'm not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I have to detach from it. You know what I mean?
It's good you're here because you now have detached him.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the great thing I heard about the blog people is, you, including the R word, it's that, arguing on the internet is like being in the Special Olympics. Even if you win, you're still retarded.
That's coming from Doty, man.
All right, now.
Yeah, I got to live with these people, man. I got to live with these people. So let me do this, the presidential bomb pilot, which we got earlier. Now that he's here. Mm-hmm. I forgot to do it at the top of the segment. This is the president's schedule for today. 7 o'clock a.m., wake up. Pack for Florida. Ask John Kerry if I can borrow his flip-flops. I still got it. 8:55 a.m. Leave for Florida. Have separate speeches ready for crackers, Cubans, and old people. 10:40 a.m. Speak at rally, Pensacola, Florida. Talking point. John Kerry is soft on hurricanes. 2 p.m. Participate in an Ask President Bush event, Niceville, Florida. Have Carl Rove plant someone in the audience to ask, what would we ever do without you? 5:45 p.m., speak at rally, Panama City, Florida. Assure them that every vote counts, even if we don't count every vote. 7 p.m., drop in on Jeb. Have Secret Service hold him down while I dangle loogies over his face.
Now we're even for that middle school incident, little brother. 9 p.m., kill a manatee. 11 p.m., bedtime. Think happy thought, headline. Quote, Kerry tells Florida voters, I hate Cubans, Israel, Art Deco, Orange Juice, Disney, and the sun. End quote. So now what are we going to do? We're going to groove? We're going to talk some more? You want to do a song? We got the time. We're going to have you for a while.
Yeah, totally.
Right. So let's, why don't we do the song that's on the Move On CD?
Cool.
All right.
All right.
Down in the mouth and not half right. But I can feel changes coming on. Bloom like a flower in blueest night. Bloom like the sunlight in my song. Dum 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 dum. Move on, move on. Dum 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 dum. Move on, move on. All of the words you can't say right. Burn me up when anger is flowing. Country so much, man. Like an exasperating friend. Dum 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 dum. Move on, move on. Dum 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 dum. Move on, move on. Now, now, now. And compassion by example, not coercion, force and fear. Dum 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 dum. Move on, move on. Dum 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 dum. Move on, move on. As for the army on cable. Between ads for soda and skin cream. What about the kids that you signed up? Do you really love them as you claim? Now, now, now. Move on, move on. Dum 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 dum. Move on, move on. Down in the mouth and not half right. But I can feel changes coming on. Bloom like a flower in bluest night. Bloom like the sunlight in my song.
Yeah,
right on.
Very nice.
Thank Mike Dirty.
Very nice.
It's from the Future Soundtrack of America, which comes out August 17th. It's released by MoveOn.org. It includes
some... It's released by Barsuk Records. It is a fundraiser for MoveOn.org.
Yeah, you've got to be careful how you say that.
I didn't have any of that information. Nowhere on it does it say Barsuk Records, but there you go.
Barsuk.
We got it straight. That sounds beautiful, man.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Well done. Well done indeed.
So let me just say who else is on the album here. R.E.M., David Byrne, They Might Be Giants, Tom Waits, as you said.
Totally.
Tom Waits. Tom Waits changed my life.
Really?
Yeah. Just when I was 14, I just didn't know what hat to wear. You know? remember the cover of Nighthawks at the Diner?
Uh-huh,
I so much wanted to be Tom Waits from Nighthawk at the Diner when I was like 15 years old.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't have the gravelly voice. I wasn't smoking enough, but I did walk around with the silly hat for a while.
Yeah. How does he do that, by the way? You know, I mean, that voice is, other than Screaming Jay Hawkins, one of the most distinctive voices I've ever heard in music.
The melodies, man. Waits is, you know, is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
he influenced you a bit.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
He's a great songwriter. So we're going to have more with Mike in a minute. Hopefully we'll do a couple more songs. We'll talk a little bit about your childhood.
Yeah,
live.
Precisely.
Okay, man.
We're going to talk about his childhood, not yours.
No, we're done with me today.
You're done. Okay. Coming up, more Mike Doty performing live, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the Liberal Agenda, and so much more here on Air America Radio. Stay with us.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
New York City. September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union. An evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at motherjones.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's a White House announcement pending that Florida Congressman Porter Goss will be appointed to head up the Central Intelligence Agency. Goss now heads up the House Intelligence Committee and is considered as someone who would toe the administration's line on intelligence matters. New York Times reports that Al-Qaeda's terrorist network is alive and well, replenishing their losses with each passing day. Times says the organization has a deep bench, even though there have been a number of captures and killings. Paper says lower-level operatives have been promoted along with new recruits. U.S. Marines have taken over as the lead multinational force in the holy city of Najaf, where radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr renewed his call to fight Americans to their deaths. And First Lady Laura Bush yesterday defended her husband's stance on the controversial issue of stem cell research. First Lady slammed the president's Democratic rival John Kerry, calling him ridiculous for criticizing Bush's opposition to research. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Hey people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loonies want to bring on. Because I can't be fought. I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Janet, a single mom, wants to buy a home. I give her a plan to do so after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
So how does a single mom buy a home?
I need to get myself on some type of a budget so that I can buy a house. I'm a single mother.
What do you make a year?
$15,000.
What I would do is two things towards being able to save some money. And you need to build an emergency fund first and then a down payment. So you're a ways from buying a home. You need to rent something very, very cheap. And anything we cannot pay out in rent is going to be towards the savings. So short term, then, we need to probably pick up part-time jobs, which is difficult with a baby. Again, it's not a great idea to work 60, 70 hours a week when you got a baby at home. I understand. There's just no magic pill that's going to make $15,000 jump into $10,000 into a savings account. Got to do is we got to get the income up short term and long term. Now, the answer long term is easier but harder, and that is education. You've got to start reading like crazy. You need to read a nonfiction book a month on something that you want to get into, something that you want to make yourself an expert on.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
We're back. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Present.
Our guest in studio, Mike Doty, former frontman of Soul Coughing. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
So What are you finding with what's the pulse in the world of musicians and artists in terms of, you have to assume that most of them are fighting the fight against this administration.
Yeah, well, I think other than the country artists, everybody, you know, because I think the general vibe is nobody wants to be enraged against the machine. Nobody right. wants to be that guy that's like, yeah. you know, Mr. Marxist, you know,
right, right,
smash
right.
capitalism guy.
Sure.
But across the board, everybody is freaked out by the Bush agenda.
Right. It's not good for artists.
No.
I mean, it is repressive to yeah. broad-minded thinking and creativity.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And don't forget the Christian rock bands are not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, they're more anti-Bush than you can imagine. The whole Christ thing. Jesus hates George Bush. It's a fact.
But you know what's scary about this?
We get a lot of calls from Christians that correct me on that. Yeah.
But it's been such a consolidation in the music business. Music has become so corporatized on a certain level that there's such fear that if you say the wrong thing or if you make the wrong step, that, you know, the corporate business is simply going to shut you out.
Yeah,
and you won't have any exposure. You won't have a chance to be heard by people unless there are alternative means, and there are some, for people to access this music. Corporate America seems totally uninterested in promoting any dissent whatsoever.
They just like control, and they like to give people what they want. But that's what they say. We just want to give people what they want, but we also want to make them want things.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's brutal out there. I mean, the music industry is like a dying whale. I mean, it's a beach whale.
And what's the alternative? Do you find other avenues? Or
people keep talking about, you know, selling your music on iTunes and just doing a completely web-based. And that's what I've been doing for a few years, but I'm finding that, like, to really get to the next level, I'm going to need a label on some.
Really?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. That's the game you have to play. And, you know, it's sort of like but you've been around a long time. That's a great thing.
Like it's 10 years.
Yeah, and it's got a history of music. A lot of times they just turn these kids out, you know, get two hits out of them, and that's it. It's over.
I mean, if I was a new artist, I would be panicking. Particularly like an artist with integrity that wants to do something that's not like Fifi Dobson.
Whoa. Yeah, but you know what they do? They put you in the back of a limousine a couple times. They think, you know, they make you think everything's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn up and charge the limousine ride against your royals.
Well, yeah, I mean, the music business is basically built to keep you in debt.
Yeah,
and you know, if you get paid by a major label, you're going back and saying, "Please give me money because I'm broke."
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, it's built to do that.
It's nice to know that you've had a lot of these experiences behind you. Do you ever get afraid of reprisals for your point of view?
No, I mean, I kind of always been me, and you know, nobody expects me to be you know, whatever.
Right, right.
JJ from the Backstreet Boys.
Right. Like, right.
Whoa, he's got a point of view. Crazy.
Oh, no, we all got that. Pretty man. All right, you want to kick out another tune?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right. Mike Doty.
Mike Doty.
Here we go.
I want to be your absolute ultimate. Want to be your only one now. Feel the wave come up from your sulkiness. Feel the rays you radiate now. Sweet and plain, unsingable name that rings in my mind now. That strums me like a string. Chime, unsingable name over everything. The thrum of hearts in your presence, and watch the breeze that snaps at you now. All the dogs that bark by the fences, and everything is wanting for you. Smirk on the face and fists in the clenches, and make the radiator blow now. Crack the planks and shatter the lenses, and mix the salt, the sugar, and flour. Sweet and plain, unsingable name that rings in my mind now. That strums me like a string. Chime, unsingable name over everything. Slushing, sleeting through the blue gloom. Some long bell's lonely ring. Chime, unsingable name over everything. I
want to see the mountains in silhouette. Want to split for Singapore now. Want to see the mystery trees. Want to hear the womanly sound. I want to see the mystery trees. Want to hear the womanly sound. Over everything, flashing, sleeping through the blue gloom. Some long bells lonely ring, chime unsingable name. Over everything, sweet and plain unsingable name. That rings in my mind now. That strums me like a string. Chime on simple name over everything.
Doty, Mike Doty.
Very nice.
Tremendous.
Very nice.
You can go to www.superspecialquestions.com. We'll put a link to that on our website.
Cool.
The CD from MoveOn.org produced by... what's the name of the company?
Barsook Records.
Barsook Records for MoveOn.org is a called...
Not for MoveOn.org, as a fundraiser for MoveOn.org.
And
Music for America.
Future Soundtrack of America. You have David Byrne, REM. They Might Be Giants, Tom Waits. If you want to call and talk to Doty, 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. We'll take your calls on the other side of this here on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Philip J. Crowley is a senior fellow and director of national defense and homeland security at the Center for American Progress.
Well, I don't think there is an agreed-upon game plan. The July 1st date for return of sovereignty to Iraq, I think, has more to do with our electoral calendar than their electoral calendar. There is a tremendous risk of civil war among the Shia and Sunni populations and the Kurdish populations if this goes badly. And clearly, you know, while you can, you know, Saddam was a monster, and clearly we are better off with him in jail. We'll only be more secure if we're able to put something more effective in his play, and that remains a significant challenge. I think we're on the fourth iteration of the November 15 plan.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go?
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
If you have kids, chances are you don't know that right now in your house, something potentially deadly is waiting for your children. It's disguised as ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. These kids don't know that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. If you know what they're up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness, the anti-drug.
It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning's Edition. Mike Doty is in the studio. I call you Doty because that's how I knew you.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's time to take a look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Kerry Determined to Use Words as Persuasive Tools. Mr. President, it's come to our attention. Your opponent, John Kerry, is engaging in a completely underhanded tactic called direct questioning. Once again, he's playing the superior intellect card. Just yesterday, he asked, why do we rush to war without a plan to win the peace? Ouch. Sadly, we expect this sort of impudence to continue, if not escalate. Up until now, answering questions has not been a problem, primarily because you don't answer questions. Fortunately, a docile media that fears losing access has been most cooperative on this. The only person we've really had to keep at bay has been Michael Moore, and he's not hard to spot coming. But John Kerry is likely to keep this questioning up until you may be forced to make some sort of crudely fashioned, spontaneous comeback. We've all worked too hard and too long to allow that to happen. We suggest this. If it's not written on a card, it's not coming out of your mouth. Nobody has forgotten this.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we.
Well, maybe you've forgotten it, but that's why we're reminding you, respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Who's on the phone there? I don't have my...
Let's go to Andy from Massachusetts, who's listening to us on Sirius. Andy, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right. Good.
Hey, Mike, by the way, I love your stuff. I've been trying to get my wife into it.
Cool.
Roofie.
Right on.
Hasn't worked yet, but, you know, got to change the show tune somehow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, now let me get this straight. Barstool Records, fundraiser for MoveOn.org. The only thing I don't know is, where am I going to find this? Because if I can't find it and buy it, I'm going to have to download it.
Stop me before I kill again.
Dude, don't do that. Well, I think you actually will be able to download it off iTunes. It's coming out in a week, and it's going to be in record stores.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It is in record. Okay, it is going to be
in record stores. It will be in record stores, absolutely.
Yeah, because I didn't want to say that I had already heard a couple of tracks from it on a local radio show.
Oh, uh-huh.
I was just floored by what I heard. I was just, I'm a pretty critical guy about music, because I've listened to music for a long, long time, appreciated music for a long time. I actually majored in music for a minute when I was in college. And, the two tunes I heard, which were just like one of those things where you almost have to pull over to the side of the road and finish listening to it. Yeah. And I said, where did he get this stuff from? And then they said this whole thing about Move On. And I said, wait a minute, Move On. So I'm Googling stuff as soon as I get home. Where can I get this? And then I realized it wasn't out yet.
We'll post a link on our blog also. Yeah. You can get it at recordstoresmoveon.org.
Get it at barsoup.com, BARSOUK.
All right. We'll put that on the links too. We got Rob in Florida. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, not too much. Yeah, I ordered quite a few copies of the CD just so I could get it in my store and, sell it. I don't even want a profit on the thing. I just want MoveOn.org to get some cash so they can defeat this Bush guy.
Because
he's definitely the worst thing that's happened in this country. And that last track you played of him was probably about the first truthful thing he said in the
future. Before the end of the show, we'll play the commercial version of that, too, which I love. But right now, we're going to have Mike Doty play another song for us. What are you going to play now?
I'm going to do the old soul coughing staple, Circles.
Beautiful. All right.
Around in circles. walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in. The ghostling does the violence, faces everything. When the gas runs out, just wreck it to ensure the thing. I don't need to walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in. Walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in. Bop, doom, bop, doom, budam boy, dam boy, yum, doom, bop, doom, bop, doom, budam boy, dam boy, yum, doom, bop, doom, bop, doom, budam boy, dam boy, yum, doom, bop, doom, bop. But I can't sign out that you made the move. Has gone and gone to dough. Lay down on the floor. For the right price, I can get everything. Slip into the car. Go driving to the farthest star. I don't. Around in circles. Walk around in circles. Walk around in circles. I don't need to walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in. Don't need to walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in. Don't need to walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in.
Yeah!
Thank you.
That's Mike Doty, the Future Soundtrack of America, put out by Barsook Records to benefit MoveOn.org and Music for America. We'll post a link on our blog. It features Mike Doty, OK Go, R.E.M., They Might Be Giants, David Byrne. It's great. Great to have you here.
Great to be here, man.
I'm glad you're doing well.
You sound great.
It has been a long time, and you look well.
Thanks. So do you.
Thanks for coming.
Do you remember the last conversation we had?
Yeah, maybe.
We had the last conversation we had was like a year ago. It was about whether or not Uday Hussein was a happy person.
Oh, yeah.
And you maintained that he was a happy person.
That's right. The, I did a whole bit about the Uday Hussein, the inner Uday. Everyone has an inner Uday, just few people have the resources to act on it. All right, we'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person, and so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it, too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Hi. I'm David Orrick. If you love your lungs, then purify the air in your home with the same technology used in our U.S. submarine fleet, the same advanced technology that's in my Orrick tabletop air purifier. I call my air machine a lung saver. You'll call it a miracle. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and breathe easier with the best air purifier you can buy.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Serious Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. He already loves Serious. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under business subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
They're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
Awesome, man. Mike Doty was great. He sounded great.
He was fantastic.
Can we just play the ad? Please, can we play
Please.
It? Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Future Soundtrack of America, put out by Barsook Records, to benefit MoveOn.org and Music for America, with that Mike Doty song. It's also got Tom Waits, Fountains of Wayne, Elliot Smith, posthumously, obviously. You can get that. We have links to that on our site. Now let's land this thing with a little with the hoe.
With a little hate.
Hate of the hoe.
For that conservative carpet-bagging hoe.
Yay!
Alan Keyes.
Oh, what did that dude say yesterday?
He got up early yesterday, made the rounds of all the talk shows, which I guess is why they asked him to do this in the first place. For those of you who do not know, Alan Keyes from the state of Maryland has decided to run for the United States Senate from the state of Illinois, setting up a black-on-black contest with Barack Obama. And he, in a round of broadcast interviews, said that Barack Obama, as a state senator, had violated the principle that all men are created equal by voting against a bill that would have outlawed, quote, late-term abortions.
What's the logic on that?
And I don't know how he said that that this was the slaveholder's position.
That's amazing, but Obama was genius. He comes back with, Keyes should look to members of his own party to see if that's appropriate, if he's going to use that kind of language. And as in other words, take a look to his own masters.
Yes, or as they say, masses.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
Barack Obama has got to be aware of one thing and one thing only.
What's that, man?
He has got to see Alan Keyes as meat. He cannot go through this campaign over the next 90 days reacting to everything that Alan Keyes says or does, because that's what Alan Keyes is trying to get him to do.
Right.
Now, I don't think this race is going to be particularly close.
Right.
I don't think that Keyes has a snowball's chance in hell of winning the United States Senate seat from the state of Illinois. I think people in Illinois have better sense than that. But Barack Obama has to understand that you cannot, with a guy like Alan Keyes, sit back and react to everything that he does. You have to act on him. You have to attack his positions, his principles, the campaign debt he's still got, his toadying up to the apartheid government of South Africa, the shilling that he's done over the years for every kind of ridiculous cause imaginable. You cannot allow him to set the agenda for that Senate race. Or if you do, he's not going to beat you.
But
he's going to run you hard.
Yeah, but can't you rise above and let him bury himself? I mean, it seems to me that if he gets sucked into the groove with Keyes on too many issues, that it's going to be unnecessary. He should take the high road still.
Well, he could take the high road, but he's got to be the one that sets the agenda,
right.
Not Alan Keyes.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tom. Oh, sorry.
I did it. All right. This liberal agenda. Here we go. Write these down from the Streisand compound. One. Quit job just to screw up unemployment statistics for Bush. Two, accuse the Manchurian candidate of being a tool of special interests. That'd be the movie. Three, find out why they hate us so much, then agree with them. Four, show solidarity by putting Sudan on your speed dial.
And five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, you know, Ashcroft has the camps all ready to go. End quote. That's it. We're going to land this thing. What a great show. Thanks,
it was
Riley.
A great show, man. And I'll tell you the truth. Now, I felt a little out of sorts when I came in here this morning, but I'm feeling invigorated now.
We are in sorts now.
Absolutely. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, the author of The Trouble with Islam and an imam from New York. Tell us what it's like to be Muslim in America. That's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Maron.
You too, Riley. See ya.